Thank you. Good morning and welcome to the City of Morro Bay joint meeting between the Community Promotions Committee and the Tourism Business Improvement District. This is a special joint meeting and the date today is June 16th and it is approximately 8:35. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order and open the meeting up for public comment. If you please, when you step to the microphone, state your name and also your city of residence, and limit your comments to about 3 minutes. And this will be the only open microphone or open public comment time for both boards. So it's a joint open mic, and you may speak.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Hunter Kilpatrick, and I'm the executive director for the Morro Bay Festivals. I apologize for the venue. I thought I was at the promotions committee here this morning, so I just came by to pretty much address them on this issue. I've been talking for the last couple of months amongst a lot of business leaders in the community about how the Morro Bay Festival can, Harbor Festival can help the community to its fullest. And an idea came up at an Embarcadero business meeting to include a merchant's pavilion, more of a almost like a trade show type pavilion, and the decision's been made and agreed by my board that we're going to add a pavilion to the festival this year at the entrance gate, so that everybody walks in, we'll go through a pavilion that will highlight and showcase Morro Bay businesses. And I came here basically to ask the promotions committee to get on their agenda for next meeting so that I can present them with a concept of it and hopefully get the merchants or the promotions committee to help out with it. The cost of the pavilion is going to be about $3,000, and I think if we split it out amongst a lot of people, this is just for the tent rental. The Festival Association is giving up 8 spaces that we would normally rent out for that, so that's our donation into it. And I'm just looking for some others help amongst the promotions committee so that we can make it possibly even a free event for the Morro Bay merchants to come in and showcase their local businesses, and that way all the visitors coming to town will be able to see what Morro Bay has to offer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, citizens of Morro Bay. other than Amit here, who can remember the last day of elementary school when you went to school from 1 to 5? Because I just dropped off two of my kids to elementary school for the last day of school this year, and it was really a moving moment for me. But I'm also here to thank you guys, because one of the things is that people just don't thank you enough for all the things that you do, for all the meetings, times that you put in for free. And I just want to elaborate that for free. So for all of us stakeholders, businesses, and hotels, we want to thank you for all the time that you guys put in and effort that you put in for this thing. With that said, we're at a very pivotal point in what we're doing in the city of Morro Bay in promoting and tourism strategy and all the structural changes that we're about to make. And I want you to just keep one thing in mind that we've just been kind of the limbo or lingo for over the last few years is lost in market share. And as city of Morro Bay goes up in 3%, 4%, 5% in occupancy and TOT, please remember all our cities around us are going up probably more than that. As we lose market, as we lose in occupancy year on year or average rate or TOT collections, just know that everybody's going down less than we are. So that's loss of market share. And that should be our goal, is to lose that and close that pivotal bleeding that we're currently having and closing that. With that in mind, when you do set up these workshops and look and talk about them, please talk about who is most qualified to help you guys before how much it's going to cost to do it, because this is it. I mean, this is what you guys are up against, is to make sure that with all the changes that we're making, this is probably one of the last chances we have to close this bleeding that we currently have in the city of Morro Bay. With that said, have a great meeting, and talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Good morning, Judy Salamaca, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and I represent the Central Coast Writers Conference this morning. And I, too, am here just to do a thank you and an update on the Central Coast Writers Conference, which is 27 years old this year, and yet the focus has been traditionally in the San Luis Obispo area. And since I'm a resident of Morro Bay, I decided that it was at Cuesta, the website at communityprograms.net, as well as on the brochure. So thank you, and I'll keep you updated.
Thank you, Judy.
Good morning, community promotions members, as well as BID members and staff. My name is Jeff Eccles. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and I'm here this morning representing Morro Bay Forth Incorporated, the group, the nonprofit group that is hosting and orchestrating our 4th of July celebrations here in the city of Morro Bay. I'm on that board as the immediate past president. So first off, I want to just give a hearty thank you to both of these boards for your substantial support of this event, both monetary as well as marketing, and just partnering with us in the community to put this on. And I think that really this is a model that we can look at that has worked so well. Because just as you are all volunteers and we appreciate your efforts, we've got another specific group of volunteers that have been working regularly for the 4th. Your financial assistance as well as your volunteer efforts coordinate with that, and really we create a lot of synergy. And the end result is we are just pulling off a fantastic event. We are getting tourists into this town, heads in beds, as our TBID likes to say, as well as, of course, a fantastic event for our residents and locals here. So thank you very much. So a highlight of what's going on this year, one of the things we wanted to focus on was making this a multi-day event. So I want you to keep this in mind, 3 o'clock on the 3rd. So 3 on the 3rd. At 3 o'clock on the 3rd of July this year, we will be hosting the Morro Bay Mile Skateboard Longboard Push and World Record Attempt. So this will be starting at the beginning of the bike trail out by the boardwalk right in front of the power plant. That will go out toward the rock, turn around, and come back. So it's a very safe area for them to do that. At the end of the race, we will have a police escort all the way down the Embarcadero. These guys will be pushing their skateboards all the way down the Embarcadero, bells and whistles, ending at Tidelands Park. At Tidelands Park that night, Sunday the 3rd, beginning at 5 p.m., we have the Red Skunk Gypsy Band playing and a huge dance party. So this will be a fantastic event on the 3rd and really a kickoff for the 4th of July the next day. Now, the 4th of July, of course, the real highlight of everything are our fireworks. We have a fantastic show for you again this year. We were pleased last year that we got a lot of good feedback that our show started before a certain city north of us on the bay here and actually ended afterward. So if you want to come and see the most fantastic fireworks show on the Central Coast, Morro Bay is the place to be. Events will start on that day, on the 4th, at 1 o'clock. And the big event at 1 o'clock is the bike parade. The bike parade is something that was incepted last year and became an instant huge success, and especially a favorite amongst our locals. We were expecting maybe 100 participants. We had well over 300 last year. This year, we have enlisted further help. We are really cordoning off managing the parking area out at the rock, and we are expecting and prepared for well in excess of 500 participants this year. And that parade will, of course, go down the Embarcadero as well, police escorts, and end up at Tidelands Park. Things kick off at Tidelands Park at 2:30 is our opening ceremonies. We've got all kinds of bands playing, so join us, of course, at Tidelands Park for that day, and at 9:15, the fireworks. So thank you again for your support with this. This is a successful event in large part due to you.
I think everybody says thank you to Morro Bay Forth for all they do. Yeah, all the way around. Thank you.
Good morning.
I'm Dan Glessman, a Morro Bay resident. And because you're looking at strategies, I wanted to come down and share a thought. And this is from my 40 years of technical sales and marketing experience. There's a missing link in the hiring. You need a well-paid professional sales person. That individual would have measurable accountability and be given authority to make decisions that result in increased tourism revenue. Everyone here is in love with marketing. What is that? Putting ads in magazines at considerable expense is a low-yield way to grow Morro Bay tourism. And I want to give an example. I would build on this as a recent thing where there was a handgun championships down on Highway 1. I saw participants that come from throughout California, adjacent states, and internationally. They were blue-collar folks, and they came to shoot. But they had to sleep, and they had to eat somewhere. My instinct is that the modest level of lodging and eating available in Morro Bay would fit their economic requirements nicely. A salesperson would reach out to sell with a sizzle. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, going once. Twice? There you go. Thank you very much. Public comment is closed. Okay, and now we move to board and committee announcements. Any announcements from TBID?
Thank you, Joan. Tonight at 5:30 at Achievement House on Morro Bay Boulevard is the chamber mixer. You're all invited to join us up there to do some networking with food and beverage and good fellowship. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I just want to make an announcement. Tonight our high school, local Morro Bay High School, is having their graduation, and I'd be remiss to not to mention that. But we have a great high school with some very talented students, and we should be very proud of what's being accomplished at Morro Bay High School, and they need our support, and I appreciate the community's support as well. Thank you.
And I believe Ms. Luker and Mr. Mendoza both have graduates this year. Is that correct? Congratulations, parents.
Thank you.
Made it. And any other announcements? Okay, I'll turn this way.
First announcement, I would like to introduce Amit Patel, our newest member of the board. Bill is still on the board. He's absent doing some things with his wife. One other announcement I have is the summer solstice event is taking place at Morro Rock on Tuesday. The Salinan tribe will be gathering there about 3 o'clock. They build a fire at the base of the rock, and then a selected number climb Morro Rock and build a fire at the top. I think there's been some discussion with the chamber of perhaps making that a bigger event in the solstices to come. People are definitely welcome, though, to visit at the base of the rock. No one can climb it, but the tribe and the people chosen by them. But it's an interesting event. They often have a drum circle. It's worth going down to take a look and support them. Any other announcements?
Okay. I do.
Okay.
This Saturday is the Morro Bay Canine Walkathon, and it's a fundraiser for a canine for the Morro Bay Police Department, and it's being put on by the Friends of the Morro Bay PD. They're sponsoring the event. It starts at 9 o'clock, registration at the Rock. There'll be a parade of dogs, and it's to raise money for the canine program for the Morro Bay Police Department. They feel that a canine is an extremely versatile and valued member of our police department. We had one, which we lost some years ago to funding, and we don't have one now. It will greatly enhance the public safety in Morro Bay and provide a tremendous resource in areas of search and rescue, suspect apprehension, officer safety, and public relations. And if you have a dog, bring the dog out and take him for a walk. And if you don't have a dog, they'll have dogs out there for rent. So you can rent a dog. Some of the money for the dog rental will be split between the police department and Woods Humane Society. So it's a good event. It's a wonderful event. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to have more than just a dog walk. From what I understand, it's going to be like a carnival. I have a little brochure here. and there's going to be vendors and canine demonstrations and all sorts of event things for dogs. And for more information and to register, contact Stephanie Pippen at the Morro Bay Police Department, and I'll give you her number. Her number is 772-6225, extension 464. 772-6225, extension 464, and that's this Saturday starting at 10 o'clock, the Morro Bay K9 Walkathon at The Rock. So be there and have a great time. Thank you.
I just wanted to add to the 4th of July activities, don't forget Art in the Park. If you haven't been there recently, Alan Cook has done a really good job of bringing in a lot of new vendors. A lot of them are local. I would guess about half of them are local. So please do come by that weekend and check out all the artwork. It's a really fun event, and they have food available, and there's music. It's a lot of fun if you haven't been there in a while.
Thanks, Janice. I think that's the end of our committee announcements, so it looks like we're heading on to the presentation of the Cal Poly study on Morro Bay residence tourism.
We are, but I have a question on Art in the Park. Is that through the 4th of July? Is that, does that include Monday? It goes into Monday. Oh, awesome. Okay, thank you.
3-day event.
So now we will, move to the presentation of Cal Poly.
If I may, I'll go ahead and introduce Tyson. Most of you are familiar with him. He's a graduate student at Cal Poly, and for the benefit of those in the audience that aren't familiar with this project, this is a project that my firm worked with Tyson on to create some research on how the residents of Morro Bay feel about tourism, its importance, its benefits. If there's negative perceptions, we wanted to look at those as well. So basically, I would think that this value, even more so now that I know Tyson and the great job he did, would cost us, a neighborhood of $10,000 to have some sort of study like this done. And we've had very nominal costs, just covering, as you all know, Tyson's postage, some hard costs, things like that. So we have a very nice study, and he's going to share with you some of those highlights. And then what the next step will be, your new firm will look at this, these results, and craft a internal city-wide campaign to educate and let the residents know about the importance of tourism as we use this as a guide for how that campaign would be structured. So with that, I'm going to leave it to Tyson and have him go ahead and explain it.
All right. Well, thank you for the introduction. Once again, I'd like to thank John for the help on this project, getting it set up, as well as the promotions committee to have the opportunity to conduct this. And as John said, this is just kind of more of a highlight of the findings of the study. A complete report was done, which I'm sure can be emailed out to all of you. So first, the purpose of the study, like John said, Morro Bay residents, as I'm sure all you know, are a vital component of a healthy and prosperous tourism industry here. So the main thing I wanted to look at was identify what was associated with attitudes towards tourism. And this was going to help establish a better baseline for Morro Bay residents' attitudes towards tourism, as well as just gaining a better understanding of where they're at. And then also, as John said, that the results of this could be used to help generate a more narrow-focused, successful marketing campaign to increase residents' awareness of what the tourism industry does here in the community. So the procedures of how the study was conducted was, first, a list was obtained of all homeowner occupants from a title company. That list was then cleaned, make sure there wasn't any businesses included in it, as well as duplicate names. Then 720 were randomly drawn from that. 20 of them were used as the pilot study, just to make sure there's no issues with the instrument and just make sure that the procedures were going to result in a good response rate. As far as the execution goes, I was able to get some other Cal Poly students to help me out in hand-delivering them. By hand-delivering the questionnaires, it increased the level of personalization of it, as well as offered the residents an easy opportunity to ask any questions about the study or why it was being conducted or kind of what information was being looked for. So Cal Poly, the Recreation, Parks, and Tourism Administration Department, they also helped fund a portion of the study by supplying the letterhead as well as the Cal Poly envelopes that they went out in. And then each resident was delivered a cover letter explaining what the study was, as well as the questionnaire, and then a pre-stamped return envelope that went back to the school. to basically just gain all their information to make them feel a little more confident that I was going to the school instead of a private address. 2 to 3 weeks after the initial contact, a follow-up was done. The reason for the follow-up was, one, to increase the response rate as well as decrease a response bias. So the first contact, you might get people that are either a little more supportive or against the tourism industry, where the second contact hopefully gets some of the people in the middle range. The response rate was great on this study. It was a lot better than any of my professors expected or anyone kind of advised me that I would get. It was actually 62%, so 407 were returned completed, which was just a great sign. Going on, this is just kind of a quick overview of what the instrument was. Once again, in the report at the end, there's the instrument there so you can see what exact questions were asked. But these are basically just the variables that were used. So the main one, once again, is the attitudes towards tourism, community attachment. Tourism knowledge was also a main focus of it. It was measured in both objective forms as far as actual questions on the industry, such as what the economic impact of the TOT tax was to the community, and as far as is the spending of tourists narrowly focused or wide focused throughout the community. And then also just some general demographic questions that had been previously shown in research to be associated with residents' attitudes. The overall attitude of the tourism industry was slightly positive. So basically, a Likert scale is used of 1 to 5. 3 was the neutral response, and then it was either strongly agree, strongly disagree, agree, disagree. So as you can see, the average score was 3.27. And right there is kind of just basically a graph representation of where the attitudes were. And you can see in the middle of the bell curve that it's slightly on the positive side. There is a big range of attitudes in the community, but it is a great sign that it is slightly positive, so there's not that resentment towards tourists, as well as it still shows that there's plenty of room for growth. So there's plenty of room to increase the overall attitude. Going on to there to the tourism knowledge was relatively low. That was somewhat to be expected because some of the questions were fairly technical. This, once again, is not necessarily a bad sign because it shows that there's a lot of room for growth in this area. And then going on from there, another interesting one was I asked how many of the residents wanted to learn more about the tourism industry, and 44% actually actively wanted to learn more. So, I mean, that's just, that was a little bit higher than I expected it to be. So, I mean, being that almost half of the population already wants to actively learn more is going to make it a little bit easier as far as getting some of that information to them, being that they're already looking for it. It was also asked for the people that did want to learn more, what they want to learn more about, and how they wanted to access that information. So I compiled all of the data for that and then put it into this word cloud. And basically, the larger the font is, the more frequent that response was. So as you can see here, some of the big ones were internet was the number one way that people wanted to access the information, as well as in newspaper or local television. The biggest things that people wanted to learn about were the economic contributions to the community, as well as the environmental impacts, and then also what festivals or what events were going to be brought into the community. So going on as far as how the actual tests were run is a multiple regression model was created with all the variables from the instrument, and then it was ran at a 95% confidence interval to see what was associated with resident attitudes. And this kind of basically just gives you the conceptual model that was used in all the different variables. After running the test, partially it's believed because the attitudes were so spread out that some of the demographics weren't coming up to being significant. So, for example, like age was not a significant factor, as well as contact with tourists and things like that had been previously shown in other communities to be associated. But the two biggest components that were associated were economic tourism knowledge and then environmental tourism knowledge. I kind of expected the economic one just because people are a little more familiar that tourism brings in money into the community. But I was surprised that environmental tourism knowledge was basically just as strongly correlated to resident attitudes. So that's one thing to look at is communicating how the tourism industry can be a more environmentally friendly industry than some of the more traditional industries. And then another one that came up was level of education. Those residents that had some high school or high school level had a higher attitude towards tourism than those with a higher level of education, as well as those with lower income levels who are a little more supportive than those at the higher income levels. And then towards the bottom of this list, these ones, they showed that they were significant in linking to attitudes, but it wasn't as strong a relationship, or it wasn't explaining as much of a variation in responses. So from the results of this, there's a few recommendations. Biggest one is focusing on the economic knowledge as well as the environmental knowledge aspect. So a campaign to increase residents' awareness of tourism should focus on both those components. It should communicate to the residents how the spending of tourist money in the community is not just to the business owners in the tourism industry, but all residents. And when someone spends the money, it gets turned over into other businesses that may not be considered a tourism industry business. And then also, like I said, how the potential of tourism to being an environmentally friendly industry, and how since nothing's actually being extracted, people are just coming and it's the experience that's being sold, that it's actually a little more friendly. And then also, as far as targeting, people that have some college education or higher, since they had a little bit more negative views, they should be more heavily targeted, as well as those in the income range between $50,000 and $75,000. Once again, as since the attitudes were so spread out, you can't pinpoint exactly to those groups, but those were the two groups that had the most negative attitudes towards tourism. A potential component of a marketing campaign would be to include a basically a branch off the Morro Bay website that's geared towards the residents. So basically, the website now, you have it, and it's gearing more towards bringing people into the community, letting them know what's going on. You could have almost like an alias version of the site that's geared towards the residents and saying, this is what's going on in the community, this is what we're doing to promote it, these are the impacts, and basically have some of that information of what's going on. The California Travel and Tourism Commission has a similar site to this. So if you go to visitcalifornia.com, on the bottom right-hand corner, there's a link that goes to the tourism industry site. And then on that site, they have all their plans as far as what they're doing on marketing, the outlook of tourism in the community. And basically, it just gives information not for the tourists, but for those in the community or in the business itself. Ways of promoting this website as far as driving traffic to the site. It could be a direct mailer going out to them. The direct mailer could be a simple brochure with some of the information on it, as well as this could either be sent by itself or to save funds. It could also possibly be included with like a utility bill, so that goes to all the residents in the community. Also having a link to the city's websites already, and then also using social media to connect the people in the community and drive them to the site as well. Basically just making it so the residents feel connected to what's being promoted in it and making sure that they're involved with this. And then also having a workshop for the residents. One of the real big components in creating a successful or sustainable tourist destination is making sure that all the stakeholders are working together. So that's getting the residents together, all the city officials, the committee boards, such as both of you guys, and then also having the business owners. So having a public workshop that could bring all the stakeholders together and get everyone on the same page, engaged, and just increase the overall awareness of what's happening with the tourism industry could be a great benefit. And then a final recommendation, which is a little more further out, but it could be involving of what to do with the power plant. A possible example of a similar project was the Gasworks Park in Seattle, where it was a gas power plant that was put out of commission and then turned into a public open space, but it also preserved some of the stuff that was left from the gasworks, so it offered a unique landmark for the city of Seattle, but then also it provides an open space so it could be used for events, as well as the community, the residents would be able to use it, and then it could have a component that would be almost a museum-like that could tell the history of the power plant, as well as the history of the fishing industry in the community. So as tourism becomes a larger and larger component of the local economy, it still kind of preserves some of that culture as far as it being a fishing community, as well as the history of the power plant. And that is basically the cliff notes of the study. Like I said, the final report has a lot more information on it. And this picture I just thought was kind of fitting. It was on actually the very last survey I collected. I found that post-it in the middle of the survey, so I just thought it made me smile and laugh, so thought it was fitting. Does anyone have any questions on the study?
Yeah, we can open it up for questions now. Is there any questions from the TBIT board right now? Looking down towards Karen and Craig. And
I just have a comment. Good job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of really great information here. I think it's very well. Good job.
I don't really have a question, but I would like to see the complete report. If you could email that out to maybe our chairmen or something, and they could forward it out to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd kind of like to echo the good job comment and kind of add to that that a lot of times you get these kinds of reports, and they're great reports, but it's going to cost us, you know, $750,000 to execute. I mean, there's really, I don't see anything here that we cannot pick up and do. I mean, it's all within our reach, and mm-hmm. I think that really probably makes it a much better report than a good report. Thank you.
I also think that it gives validation to what we're doing here today with our joint, with what's on the agenda. And also, I just think you did a fantastic job. Can I ask you, would it be possible to forward also a full scope of the questions that went into this? I would love to see those questions that were mm-hmm. asked.
Yeah, and actually, as one of the appendixes to the report that I created, it has the cover letters that were used as well as the complete survey. So that's in the back.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I mean, what a bunch of work. Thank you.
Thank you.
CPC board, have any questions or comments? Ed, did you?
The same big thank you. I think you did a great job. A lot of it is very relevant to what we're doing, as Joan said, and I think it's going to help us a great deal. So thank you again.
Thank you.
I agree. It was wonderful and it really helpful to us. One of the things that really surprised me was the more educated and better income people having less interest and or awareness of tourism. I know you're not paid to analyze it, but did you have any input on that or explanation why that would be?
And I did think about that, and I think one of the components could be that since some of the jobs in the service industry aren't as high paying or they won't require as high of a level of education, so then you could have more people that are working in the tourism industry as far as in the front lines that have a little bit more knowledge because of that, or also because if they're working in that industry already, they might be a little more supportive of it and be like, yes, we do want more people, mm-hmm. whereas some of the people that already have established themselves have a higher level of income, they're kind of in this situation of, I'm okay, I'm set, it doesn't appeal to me as much. So I think that could be a possible explanation mm-hmm. of it.
I mean, just the fact that some members of the community aren't aware of how much it offers and gives to our community is interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, and that was another interesting thing is even though economic knowledge was the most significant, it was actually the lowest level of knowledge out of the three of them. Part of that could be because some of the economic questions were a little more technical because they're actual quantitative, tangible questions as far as asking, you know, there are a few number questions where the other ones were more generalized questions, but I thought that was interesting that was the lowest level of knowledge.
Thank you, Tyson. This gives us really good direction, especially for the promotions committee, because I think this local outreach is a big part of what we need to be able to do moving forward. So thank you.
Yes.
If I could just add, I think that, first of all, you did a great job again, and it was a pleasure to work with you. We have a really great asset in Cal Poly with a level of talent. Not only from the students, but also the professors. But I think that the one thing that I would say is in looking at how we go forward, you know, the first thing that could be done is have the study placed on the website. Andrew and I were just talking about that. It'd be good to have on the city site, but also you could create a separate page pretty quickly, and it would be very similar to what we did for the BID, where the BID stakeholders could go and, you know, look at these things. So basically, I think that could be done right away, and probably your first piece of content would be the study. It would be good to educate, you know, and let the public know that the city cared enough and the promotions committee as well as the BID cared enough about their opinions toward tourism that they went to and did the study. So I think that's probably the first place you start and then build awareness for that page. But one of the things that Tyson and I worked on as we crafted helped him with some of the questions was to try to come up with a way that we could use this information in a realistic fashion to educate the community. And with barely half of them feeling favorably about tourism, it's pretty important.
Agreed.
I guess I'm concerned that Tyson's going to walk out the door and, and all of a sudden we're going to say a great report and nothing's going to happen. Is there some action that we can take from this board that assigns somebody to start following up on some of these?
Did you just graduate?
I'm actually graduating this summer.
Oh, okay.
But I'd be happy to help out with implementation of the results of this study and continue to work with you guys.
I think the promotions Thank committee, you. Too, originally has budget. We've used quite a bit of it just for, you know, we didn't budget a lot, but we budgeted enough money for Tyson to do this study. But as you approach the new budget, you know, I'd recommend that you put, you know, a few thousand dollars into that budget to carry out the plan, because you're going to need, you know, to do a direct mail campaign, probably work with the city of the utility bills. But again, I think that a lot of this can be implemented fairly cost effectively, at least from the hard cost, depending upon how much time is there. But the idea was that this would, and I agree with you, John, I mean, worst thing you can do is have a study and never do anything about it. I think the feeling always was that once the study was done, then the promotions committee would take the lead on making this happen.
And I do think that is part of our bylaws and our newly written guidelines, is to take a look at what this has told us and bring more of a message to our own community, as well as that kind of full county advertising of this is a town people should want to come to. But we do need to get our own community understanding why tourism is important, how it helps everybody. So that is definitely part of what CPC's focus is in this coming year.
So I think it's about, you know, while it was a nice campaign to have the citizens where we love tourist buttons, it's probably better to tell them why they love tourists before you give them a button.
Yeah. Chair Solo and Stewart, I'd recommend that you put a discussion of this on each of your agendas for your July meetings. And kind of review what you think your action might be.
Just quickly, one more thing. I thought at the end there where you mentioned about the power plant and somehow turning it into a museum and preserving, I think that's a brilliant idea, because I think one of the things that this area lacks, or Morro Bay in particular, is, you know, museums or some, you know, we have the Natural History Museum, but you know, families come and they like to go to museums, learn about the area, and I think that would be just, I mean, that's there. It's been there for, I don't know how many, 50-something years or whatever, and it's just something that's not going to go away immediately, but to turn it into a positive somehow, to make a museum and then use that open space for the community as well, I think that was perfect. Thank you.
And I think also the location of it would be prime, because it would connect kind of two of the main tourist draws of the community, where you have the Embarcadero and then you have the power plant and then the Rock. So having something kind of in between to bridge it, it would be just a natural movement of people, you know, whether they come in first to the beach and then to the Embarcadero to eat, or, you know, vice versa. I think it would be just a natural kind of bridge or movement of the tourists.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I have a feeling we'll be seeing you back in July.
Of course.
So don't move out when you graduate.
I'll be here.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we will move on to five, the TJA Advertising Agency report. And for
Thank
that,
you.
I am going to turn it over to John.
Thank you. I'm just going to start by bringing Rick up to give you kind of some web stats. You all had those emailed to you. He's here to answer any questions, give you any highlights. Let's turn it over to you, Rick.
Yeah, first off, I want to apologize. I woke up with a very persistent cough this morning, so at least somebody else in the audience has got the same thing. So if I start coughing while I talk, so bear with me here. Like John said, you probably have all got the reports. I just usually go through and look for some data points that are interesting talking items. Obviously, the first one is the number of visitors in the month of May, 19,896. That's about a 15% increase over last year's May, which is obviously a very good thing. The next thing I always look at is referring URLs, and just check out any anomalies in there that you know, we've been working on over the past, or why is this this way? And one of the things that really came to mind, and listening to past conversations that we've had at these boards, is why doesn't the city website send more visitors to morrobay.org? Well, lo and behold, it went from 90 referring sessions in April to 373 in May. And that was so important to me, I went over and did a rundown of the last 30 days through June 15th, and actually now we're up to 639 visitors. So, you know, we all thought that the city website should be a bigger player to feeding people to morrobay.org. I don't know what happened, but somebody would tell me what the visibility is better? Or?
Well, the little blue bar on the side of the website, there's all these little bars on the side of the website, and Andrew and I have been talking back and forth, and the city got, it says visitors on there now. It says visitors and Chamber of Commerce on there now, and we're still working towards getting a big brown button at the top, I think, but Andrew can answer that.
We are, briefly. So it'll be interesting now when we change from this small blue writing on the left-hand side to a button on the very top, and that'll happen
way to go.
Near
I mean, those
so
are valuable
it'll be interesting
things.
To see how that works.
You know, it helps in search engine optimization, helps everything driving that traffic, and you want to always leverage the assets that you got. So good thing.
I think it's just another awesome way that shows that the city is partnering with us on tourism, and
absolutely.
I appreciate their efforts.
You know, and so on the last page, that we track how many email addresses are added every month, and you notice that we jumped up to 721, and that's because of the list that Michelle sent me that she collected at, where was it, Michelle, that you collected all those email addresses?
That, I believe, was the LA Times that I gave you last.
Okay. You know, once again, anytime you can add that kind of bulk to your email addresses is just as important as the referring URL. So we're going to be one of the things that Sherry and I are figuring out exactly when to turn over the email list, because we're collecting them every day. So we've got that detail down, I think, pretty good now of how we're going to do that, because we don't want to flip the switch off, have the form go down for any length of time, because you could be 5-10 people sign up in that particular day because they're entering photo contests and other stuff. And then, so that's a really another very important asset that we're trying to protect.
Can one of you please let me know when you have that, because I have forthcoming a list of about, I think the number total was 666 from Celebration Weekend. So if you can just keep me posted.
Okay, one of the things we've been tracking recently is the smartphone visitors, the smart device visitors, because my iPad over there is not a smartphone, it's a smart device. But if you look back in May of 2010, 3.36 of everybody that came on the website hit on with a smart device. That number this May is up to 10.40. When we launched the new version, kind of, it's not a big version, but the new version of the website, which we're still working on, and the details are there. I'll tell you about that in a second.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Could I interrupt you one second? Is there any chance we could have what he's talking about up on the screen? Because I think we've got a lot of people here today who may not have seen these reports and know that they're out every month. So if we can...
Janice, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to...
Just what you're talking about, you know, where those calls are coming from... The charts that you're looking at that we've got right here, I think it would be really helpful for the audience to see those.
Okay.
I think we can get it online, can't we?
You can't get it online. I'm talking about Google Analytics, and this is the report that drags all this together, Janice. So.
The reports that you give us that come to us by email.
The analytical information.
Yeah.
I have a copy of it.
I have a copy, too. I don't have any color, so
I don't know what she's talking about. What she wants.
We can put them out there.
Yeah. Oh, is that what you're talking about? Okay.
I'm sorry. I just thought it would be helpful.
That's okay. Anyway, back to the smart device. We've got that smart device app. We couldn't launch it until we converted the site over out of the database because of technical things. But anyway, what the challenge is going to be for Barnett Cox is one of the things as a developer we're always arguing about amongst us. Michelle hits on the morrobay.org with a smart device. Do we force her to go over to the smart device app by using what we call device detection? Or do we allow Michelle to pick her own path and sit there and say, well, I'm on it with an iPad. I don't need to be forced over here. I want to go to the regular website, because not all the information on the regular website is in a smart device format. So that's going to be a big question coming up, but you got to keep your eye on the ball, because, you know, we got 3. you know, three times as many this May as last May hitting it on our website with a smart device, and that's going to grow. So that's one of the challenges that's going to be facing everybody in the future. Now, the last thing to do is to talk about the lodging report, and this is where we're tracking the click-throughs from the website plus the click-throughs with JackRabbit. Remember, JackRabbit didn't start until June, so in this month we'll have finally a year-to-year comparison. But just to give you an idea, last May we had 2,400 click-throughs from morrobay.org to the lodging property websites. This May we had 5,086, and that's basically what JackRabbit kind of is bringing to the table. Because the clicks from the regular website last May was 2,400. From this May, it was 2,100. So everything plus that up to the 5,086 is what JackRabbit's brought to the table. So it's doing its job driving traffic to the hotel websites for a relatively minimal cost if you compare that to, like, a pay-per-click campaign that we talked about, what, a year ago, 2 years ago? That's it for me.
I just had a couple things I'd like to add. Just to go with what Rick was talking about, as you look at referring sites, you know, we are running a campaign on the state of California's website, which is visitcalifornia.com. You see that that's a predominant referral site. In fact, it's number one referral site, of course, from Google. San Jose Mercury News, we're currently doing a campaign there. That becomes the second one. And what's interesting, too, is, and I'll give you in my report about the co-op that we're doing, we're seeing the San Luis Obispo County VCB site increasing in popularity, too, because of the campaign, the co-op campaign that's getting people to go to the landing page and then subsequently come to Morro Bay site. And then also the LA Times, you see. So we have campaigns running in all of those. I think also it's interesting to look that that basically, for the most part, usually San Luis Obispo is our number one city site just because people from there go want to know the weather, they want to know about restaurants, that type of thing. But for the first time ever, Los Angeles superseded that. So the number one city that people are coming to us from is Los Angeles, which, again, beats Fresno, Bakersfield, and in the past those were our big markets. But we've really made a concerted effort to go after that Southern California market. And then as you look further down, you'll see San Jose becomes one of the top cities as well. So those are the two target markets that we've been looking at. And then also I think that it's interesting to look that over 75% of the viewers or the visits that came were new. So that's an encouraging sign as well. And I think that was it.
Just one more thing, and in my last 30-day report that you don't see, but I did because I was trying to see what was going on with the referrals coming in from the city website, just to encourage you even more, is the people that are coming over from the city website are looking at two more pages than your average, they're staying a minute and a half longer than your average, and they're bouncing off the website, which means they're finding the content they want about half of what your regular average is. So keep it up. Any questions for me at all?
No questions, but I do want to add that Los Angeles and that San Jose number is really awesome because when I was up at Celebration Weekend, it just so happened that the San Jose Mercury News in their travel section that Sunday ran a huge piece on San Luis Obispo County about it being the happiest place on earth. It had a big portion of that article was on Morro Bay, and that was awesome because they... The VCB booth has a picture of Morro Rock on it, and people are going by, oh, I saw that in this. So it was really a great connection there. And then also Los Angeles this past month in Pasadena and in 805 Living, which goes out to the Ventura County area and greater Los Angeles Basin, articles on Morro Bay were written in those magazines from the fam trip writers that were brought through last year as part of the tail end of Saver last year. The BID paid for a bunch of travel writers to come through, and some of those articles are now coming to fruition, which I think is really helping us. So all great, wonderful efforts by everyone. It looks good.
Any more questions? Any questions for me at all? But anyway, let me take this time to say thanks for the last 2 years. It was fun coming out and talking to you all. I got to revisit Morro Bay, which I used to do art in a park when I was a different life long ago. And it got me back to familiar with Morro Bay again. So thank you very much.
And thank you so much. Thank you so much for all you've done.
I just want to add, too, this is our probably last meeting where we'll have Mr. Sorgenfrei here, and I just want to thank you for many, many years of wonderful service.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
So with that, I'll conclude my report. Just a couple of things. We found out that we were kind of short on guides, so I'm happy to say that we were able to get those printed within less than a week. And so Joan was able to, her crew able to go up to the celebration weekend and have some collateral. Also, we did rally and get a booth to share with the county VCB, which I think was beneficial. It's a shame that it rained on Saturday. I'm sure that wasn't fun.
It was great on Sunday.
Oh, that's good. That kind of event, you don't want rain. But I mentioned about the co-op, and again, for the benefit of those who aren't aware of this, my firm, along with Mental Marketing, which handles Paso Robles, we got together and decided that we would work with the county VCB on constructing an advertising campaign because they really didn't have a budget. Everyone collectively felt that it was important to brand the county. So we developed a co-op program that included U.S. Airways, which everybody's pretty familiar with. We were able to get about more than 16 pages of advertorial. We beat Monterey for that. We ran a spread. We also ran a banner campaign in the L.A. Times, San Jose Mercury News, and Sunset Magazine. So the latest results of that, we had 8,100 responses that went to the landing page. We've had 6,700 people sign up for the Ultimate Getaway Contest, which will be awarded at the end of this month. And we're now scrambling to get those prizes that we promised them. 2,700 people signed up for the e-newsletter on the county site. And that's a little, if I had one disappointment, I think it might be that, just because originally what I had hoped, and I think they switched it, is why we now see the higher number of newsletter signups. But originally how I had proposed it to be done was that you had to sign up for the newsletter to get to enter the contest. So we changed that. I found that hadn't happened, so we made that change. I will tell you that probably the most work that we've done in the last month has been on the transition. As you transition over to Barnett Cox, we've met with the agency. My artist is in the process. In fact, I think it's completed to transfer all the art files over, all the artwork from the last 18 years. Photographs, ads, all those different types of things. We're working on getting the videos over to them as well. Get quite a library of videos, especially after this last campaign. Rick touched on the website. They've got all the passwords, keys to the castle. It's very interesting how you hand over this baton. You don't want to do it like you don't want to have two people working on it, but yet you want to have it be a good transition, and that's what that we're working toward. I would also mention to you that I've been hired to work for Saver as helping them on their marketing. We did a video, I think some of you saw up at Hearst Castle. We're also working on an idea right now that I think would be kind of fun. And I will tell you that it sounds like they sort of stole our Battle of the Bay. I did not come up with this concept, but I will be helping them carry it out. And it's basically going to be where the best food trucks from Northern California to Southern California compete. And Sunset's going to run an article about the advent of the gourmet food trucks and how big deal they are. So we're going to go, my firm's going to be involved in the social media part of this, and so we're going to put a polling on Facebook. So people, if you have a food truck up in San Francisco or Los Angeles, you'll do a video, you'll place it on YouTube, you'll say why your food truck should win. They'll do some sample cooking and recipes, and then the go on to the Saver site. They have to friend the site, so we're hoping that that will increase the friends on that site substantially. They friend it, then they get to vote, so they'll vote on their favorite video. Then we get down to where we have three finalists from the Bay Area, three finalists from Southern California. Then they all vote, and then whoever wins in San Francisco and whoever wins in L.A., and then we're going to have fun with this because we're going to show them driving, you know, if they meet in the Central Coast for the big duel. And so then they have the big competition, and so whichever food truck wins gets the bragging rights. It's called the Food Truck Smackdown. And as you recall, Battle of the Bay, Windows on the Water was featured. along with Frankie and Lola's. So that's still going to take place, the Battle of the Bay, that is. But this will be another event that Sunset will do. So I think it's going to be kind of fun, and I'll be involved in that. So we are working on finalizing, recapping all of the budget. I still need, it's a little different this because normally we would be at April. I need to get you a finalized budget. I promise you that I will. We're still trying to work toward making sure all of the BID funds and the promotions committee funds have been properly charged. And so once we work on that, I will tell you that the BID is probably going to have close to $27,000 left over, which was the goal that the budget subcommittee had. The promotions committee will not have any funds. It will be very little, if any. Which again is the goal of that committee, because those funds do not roll over. So we are on budget. Everything will be handed off properly. And I think what I will do is, I don't know if you need me for the banner concept or the, since the marketing basically is a Barnett Cox function, and then you're going to be talking about the website, the slogan, and the logo. So obviously I think all those are good because I created those. So you probably don't need my opinion on that. So I think I will exit at this time. I will answer any questions that you guys might have. If there's any questions, that I do have a few remarks I want to make before I leave.
Any questions for John? Go ahead then.
Okay.
Wait, let me look over here. I'm sorry.
Any questions?
Well, I just want to I want to first thank a few people, starting with the late Ed Biagini. I worked with Ed for over 15 years. Ed was an honest, sincere, and supportive throughout all those years to me, but also to the city, and the city which both he and I love very much. I'm sorry Ed is not with us any longer for a variety of reasons. But again, not just for my sake, but for the sake of Morro Bay, because I think Ed's lessons of working together and not worrying about who perhaps gets the credit and doing what's right for everyone and not just the few is needed very badly, I think, in this city. And I miss him, and I'm sure all of you do as well. Second, I want to thank all of those who I've worked with in the past on the Promotions Committee and, of course, the BID. There's just far too many to mention. In fact, I don't know if I could remember them all. It's been so many people. But I do remember many, and I obviously consider them my friends and will continue to feel that way. I want to thank the four city managers that I sat next to for the last 18 years. Lastly, with Andrea Luker, one of the best, and it was a pleasure to work with her. Also a nod to Rob Schultz, the city attorney. I want to thank all those of you that supported me in the RFP process with an 8-12 vote for my firm to continue on. You voted for my firm, I believe, because you felt that we offered the best work, not because of my tenure or because of me personally, because I'm a nice guy. Some people said that was the reason. But I think that some of those people were misinformed if they felt that way. You know, in the time that I've handled this account, we've doubled the TOT. We went from hundreds of responses to thousands. We built a very strong website, and you'll be evaluating very soon if you want to continue with the branding, but I think Discover Your Better Nature was a strong brand and should continue, so I guess I will throw in that little bit. I want to thank both mayors that I've worked under, Janice Peters, who's done a great job leading the city, and now Bill Yates. It's really come full circle because Bill was the mayor when I started 18 years ago. And he still wore Hawaiian shirts then. It's interesting, too, because, and I know I've said this figure before, but for the benefit of those that don't know, we started with a budget of $25,000. We didn't have enough money to run a color ad. It was all print, although some people think we still all run print, which all of you know that we run very little print anymore and mostly online. Online was really not even a factor then, but it was very different. But again, I want to also personally thank Bill for his support on the council vote. He was the only vote that I had in my favor, and I respect him for his support of the process and respecting the advisory board's vote as well. I think his vote was courageous. It was not popular that night, but I feel like it was the right thing to do. And I'm sorry that I won't be able to work with him in the future and also with Janice, because I think the city's been lucky to have both of those people at their helm. So finally, I want to thank all of you for the opportunity to work with you. It's been challenging. It's been fun. It's been rewarding. And today, actually, it is a little bit sad. But all things change, and I embrace change. I move on to my next chapter, and I really, truly mean this. I am very sincere about this. I hope for the best for all of you, and I truly hope for the best for Morro Bay. And with that, I'll say goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Okay. And with that, I guess, off we go into the next item on the agenda, which will... would you like me to cover TOT now under that marketing report? What would you...
That would be great.
Okay. Terrific. Thank you. So as before we... Thank you. Before we move on to the next item on the agenda, we're going to cover TOT, and we'll look at the April figures being in. And TOT... the occupancy rate was 56% with 919 rooms in April, and last April was 49% with 920 rooms. We do have Easter in here this year in April, so that always gives us the little push. It depends on what month Easter falls in each year, so you kind of have to average March and April together. But we are, you know, liking to report positive TOT numbers. And are there any questions on TOT? The trailer park receipts were up, and the vacation rentals were also up. So that boded very well for them. TBID collections were 375907. Just for everybody who doesn't have a TOT report in their hand. Okay.
I would comment also that comparing this year over last year in terms of the fiscal year that we've come to, all of the numbers are up, except, of course, for the amount of TBID money collected, which was down, I think, because of the 4 months when you were at 2%. But comparatively year to year from July to April this year compared to July to April last year, all numbers were up. It's a good thing.
It is. Morro Bay's numbers are up countywide. The entire county of San Luis Obispo, so that everybody knows, is... Pardon me? The county unincorporated areas around us, unincorporated is, you know, the cities that are unincorporated. They're up, but countywide, I believe they're up 22%.
I believe it's 22%. I had it, the report, yesterday, but... It's been a long day. I believe it's 22%.
And Pismo had a whopper of a month last month, which was, you know, great for them. And when I say whopper, I mean a whopper. It was like they hauled in a bluefin or something. It was crazy. So but we are up, and it's looking positive. And, you know, let's continue to climb and by leaps and bounds.
One thing, too, just to comment, they opened up Highway 1, which probably should be under announcements. That opened up last Friday, so hopefully that will help Morro Bay, because I know as a hotelier that did affect us quite a bit. So
it was not helpful when people in Monterey were saying, oh, no, you can't make it down the road. You need to stay here an extra night. We had people call, oh, no, you can make it. Don't worry. Come on down. Okay, so off we go to the next item on discussion, which is, unless there's any more questions or comments from either board on TOT. Okay. Discussion of the downtown banner concept. And for that, I'm going to turn it over to Susan, because I believe that this is her baby.
Yeah. And this will just be a quickie to get approval from my board on this. Hopefully everybody's seen the banners that are down on the Embarcadero. Those were funded by the Harbor Board, I believe. I'd like to look at a similar concept for Old Town Morro Bay and North Morro Bay, something with the same kind of format where we have the vertical Old Town Morro Bay, North Morro Bay on the side, but perhaps some different, a different design and some different verbiage. Would like to work with the new agency on what the design could be. I don't want them too far different because I would just like that we have, say, three different parts of town that we're representing as one part of a whole. I would like to engage the community in the process. Talked with Neil briefly about doing some kind of article where we put it out that we're looking for a contest kind of format on what those banners are actually going to say. So that helps with getting the word out, hopefully, about tourism in Morro Bay, why it's important for people to shop in their local businesses. So there's some buy-in there. And I think that's about it. So the main thing I need to do is get approval from this board that this is something we'd like to look at. Then I can pull all the things together in terms of cost, how we'd go about doing design, how we go about talking with Neil about a little campaign, similar to the City Tree campaign, something like that is what I was thinking. So any comments, questions, and then maybe we'll just vote on whether we can go ahead with that.
One question, Susan. Where do you picture the funding for this coming from, our budget or from merchants? How do you want to fund this?
I see this as being part of our budget. I think it's part of our newly structured bylaws to do some community outreach and some community promotion that helps define who we are and what we're offering. So I do see this as a budget item. We have. Hopefully it's not huge, and that's what I have to look into.
Well, my comment would be, I think it is something that we should pursue, especially since the sandwich board signs have been eliminated. We need to do something, especially for downtown and North Morro Bay, to make sure people realize there's shopping available there, there's stuff going on there, and I think it's a really good thing for us to use our budget for.
I like the idea, Susan. I've been happy with what we did on the Embarcadero, but I would like to take a look at what we did on the Embarcadero. And, you know, we've taken a lot of photos, Bill and I have, and travels of banners in other communities and things. Let's take a hard look at what we really want them to look like uptown. In addition to doing a campaign, I love the idea of getting people involved in it. It is a way to reach out to businesses right now who have, the A-frames have been eliminated, and I know for us it's a, you know, our sign is ready to be picked up today, but it's an additional expense. All of a sudden the businesses are paying for new signage, mm-hmm. you know, at the beginning of the summer. Mm-hmm. This is a great way to outreach to businesses, but let's take a look at the design on the Embarcadero. I like them. We had to put them on the inside because of the parking issue. Maybe we can make them, maybe there's a different way of doing it uptown. I was looking at the uptown street poles. A lot of them have the existing things on them. Some will need to be repaired, et cetera. One of the things that made them look so good on the Embarcadero is that the poles were all cleaned and painted and all looked fresh and crisp. And that really, just that alone, improved the look of the whole Embarcadero so much. If we can do that through the shopping areas, I think we need to look at that whole process. And also the design could perhaps more colorful.
Yeah.
A little more visual impact.
I think brighter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do I have a motion that we can move forward with exploring this concept plan?
I would move that we explore the possibilities of hanging the banners in the business district,
okay.
and you'll bring back the costs and the details at the next meeting.
Good. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thanks. I think we're done.
Can I just comment real quick, because I know it's not our thing, but I'd love to see stay on there. Those banners down on the waterfront look great, and eat, play, dine, I think is what it says, shop. Great to have stay on there. Just as a hotelier, it'd be nice to get people to stay overnight as well for TOT dollars. So keep us in mind when you discuss that, please. Yeah. No,
that's you.
Yeah.
Turn it off, turn it on. Okay, so here we go. Down to discussion. Oh, we got the discussion of the discussion of the format for the combined CPC T-bid meetings.
Andrea?
Thank you, Chair Sowell. A little bit of history. We had agendized this item at a city council meeting
And the staff report did not, we ran out of time and it wasn't discussed. Then we followed up with a discussion at this both these boards, I believe at your April meeting. You had a discussion about the possibility of combining. And we are bringing this back to you now to talk a little bit about not as much combining the boards into one board as how to be more efficient and possibly more effective in our meetings. And one of the concepts that staff has discussed and we would like to throw the issue out to you for your discussion is how can we see some of our redundancy, specifically when we have the marketing reports. For the most part, both boards are receiving similar or the same, in many cases, marketing report, and we were thinking about some possibilities. I think you discussed that at your April meeting a little bit. It was with City Attorney Rob Schultz, and I wasn't here. So we're throwing it out for you today to talk a little bit about, and hopefully we'll come out with a some sort of format that we can engage in. We may want to take the concept back to our city attorney to talk about how we're going to be noticing the meeting if we combine some of the issues, but that's a little update for you, and I'll give it back to Chair Stewart and Solu.
Well, there you go. So what we're looking at here, to keep it concise and focused, because we have such a big group of people to wrangle, are your precise ideas on how I guess we can do this. So I'll start down there if everyone's agreed, and we'll just kind of go around like we did before and see how you feel about everything. So Karen, we'll start with you.
I think from the TBID side, our feeling was there was not a lot of support for actually combining boards. There were some issues discussed that concerned the financing, the revenues coming in on both boards that we weren't real comfortable with in combining. I think there was also some discussion about maybe creating our meeting days that overlapped, end of the promotions and the beginning of the T-bid, so that at that point we could have our marketing reports so that they're not given twice. There was also, I think, some discussion of more of our joint meetings on a more regular basis, like maybe a quarterly basis or something like that. I think I prefer the idea of overlapping meetings. I think we're probably going to end up doing more joint meetings anyway, but to really be effective, to make this effective in terms of efficiency, just creating a quarterly or a biannual meeting isn't really going to address that. So I think from my point of view, the idea of overlapping maybe on a 30 to 45 minute basis of our meetings would probably go a long ways in efficiency.
I'm sorry, I have a question for Karen. Karen, then when you were thinking of overlapping meetings, were you thinking of just the marketing reports and possibly the visitor center reports coming back to us at that time, or were you thinking overlapping meetings with other agenda thing items on them as well?
No, I'm thinking mainly just of the presentations from marketing and visitor center.
Thank you.
I have to agree with Karen with regards to overlapping of meetings. I think that expedites things, and even though we are wrangling a bigger group, I think that keeps our comments briefer, and hopefully, you know, we'll get out within 24-hour period from our meeting time here. Not that I don't enjoy spending time with all of you. If I were a master of the universe and beyond, I'd love to see destination marketing being overseen by one group that represents all the stakeholders. I don't think that that's possible currently, but that would sort of be my goal long term.
I agree with Karen and Craig. I think that the idea of starting out together as a group and then having maybe the promotions committee doing their business and then having the marketing report to both of us, and then the CPC could be excused and we could do our business as well, I think that would expedite things and keep the duplication to a minimum. So I'm for that.
I have a question. Who's going to be doing the agenda for the overlap?
Well, that's what we're deciding here.
Okay, so it's going to be a lot more cost-effective besides time-effective to do everything that both of the boards see at once to be on one agenda. So if we could earmark that at 9:30, your meetings are usually at 8:30. So if we just say 9:30 is an overlap meeting, we come in at 9:30, we get everything done that we have to do by 10 o'clock, and then everybody can be excused. It's pretty simple. And if there's on that agenda, so you just assign one person for that agenda and write down what that agenda is going to be about, and then have copies of it in the back so your public can see it, since we didn't have it on screen today, because some of the numbers are really important for people to see. Even though we have an increase in occupancy, the dollars don't equate to the increase in occupancy. So I'm in full favor of the overlapping.
I guess a couple of thoughts. One was, yes, anything that's common to the two agendas, let's put it in the middle and do it all at one time. So the visitor center and the marketing report, I think, are the two things identified so far. Andrea, do we have to do public comment at the beginning? Could we do a joint public comment, which would mean at the end of the CPC meeting?
I think you're going
to... Sorry. Do we have to do public comment at the beginning of the meeting? What I'm thinking is there's a lot of people that make public comment to CPC, and then they come and ask us for something as well, and they're sitting here all morning, you know, to talk to two groups. Can we move CPC's public comment section to the beginning of our joint meeting? That would be another.
We might be able to do that. We'd probably want to talk to our city attorney about the possibilities of moving public comment. The nice thing about having it at the beginning of a meeting, it's a specified time, and that way you get people in and out. But it might be able to work around something like that, and we can take it back to
it's
Rob.
Just another thing that's common to our two meetings, that if we could put those together. And I would think that two chair people might look at their respective agendas as they're prepared, and if there is something on the two agendas that's common, then we throw that into the common session for that particular meeting. And then CPC goes ahead, and we do a joint session, and we go ahead and do our piece. And then I'll stop there. I think that, because that gives us adequate time to meet as, you know, almost, well, every month as a joint group, we get to see each other, and I think that's important.
I agree with John. I think it would be nice to see, maybe CPC has public comment at 8. I think they start at 8, and then at 9, you go into a joint meeting where you would have the marketing, the visitor center, and maybe then you do any joint public comment that would maybe be the two. So then that gives, because maybe there is public comment that's just for CPC, then that way that would allow, that could be part of the agenda. And I think it would be great to see some of the agenda items that could apply to both boards be put in that same middle ground, that same middle part where you're getting your reports. Some good examples, maybe even the TOT report, and also like this banner idea. I think sometimes it's good for us to collaborate. So maybe we have we put on there a report of just keeping each other up to date in that moment as well. Because I feel like whenever we come in at 10, I'm always very curious what you guys have just decided on, but half the time I'm in the middle from point A to point B, so I don't get to watch your whole meeting. And I know John has always, and the new agency will probably be able to fill us in, but there's been a couple of things over the last few months that you guys have given money to that we're curious what you've done, because we want to match funds or things like that. So I think that it'd be nice to have maybe a 30-minute joint session every month. And then maybe do your still quarter. I think if we did a 30-minute joint session or did some type of joint meeting to kind of get us all up to speed every month, we wouldn't need these quarterly meetings constantly. Maybe you just have one once a year, because I think to wrangle everybody, you know, you're going to end up with all these agenda items. I have a feeling there's a lot of change going on, and we're going to be working a lot together. So maybe for 6 months we try 30-minute, or we try joint sessions just for the marketing and any agenda items, and then it may back off over time when we all get a little bit more into our sections. But that's how I would love to see it. And then it could go into TBID public comment, and then the TBID finishes off their meeting. But I don't think we should combine and try to wrangle everybody for a full meeting. I think just the reports and anything that's going to be
coming up on the agenda. I know visitor center will be probably be relooked at, the stakeholder. So I think the next few months there might be a little bit more reason to have a little bit more of a joint meeting time with agendas.
Thank you, T. Bitters. I would tend to agree with you. You know, first of all, I want to say there's been a lot of conversation about, oh, you should combine, you should combine, you should combine. Either way, I would like to try us doing the joint overlap first. You know, if we end up combining, no matter what happens, I think however it comes, everybody who's worked here together will continue to work here together, and, you know, off we'll go welcoming each other. So, but I think that that discussion is far down in the future, that we need to try other things first that I think will probably work. And one of those things is to consolidate staff time, consolidate our marketing agents' time, and help to consolidate our time, too, because we're all volunteers, and I think that's the joint overlap. I would love to see it start at 9, because we have, just like you have folks that need to go open their businesses, we have folks that need to go open their businesses, too, and with us starting at 10 the way we do, that pushes us sometimes with the amount of stuff that we have on our agenda into like a 1 o'clock leaving. I mean, some people have come and spoke at public comment and text me on the phone, hey, I just had lunch, and I turned the TV on, and I see you guys are still meeting. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. So I would love to see us have an earlier start time, the TBIT have an earlier start time of 9, and I see Nick shaking his head. Yeah, he's 6 in the morning, so he can be over at lunch. So, yeah, I think a combined is the way to go right now, and I say 9 o'clock.
All right, let's start with Tracy. Got any comments?
Yeah, I agree that we should just try this. It's not carved in stone. If it doesn't work, we can always change it, but we've got to try something, and this is a great place to start. You know, if we start at 8, it only gives us an hour before 9, and 8 o'clock, I don't know about the rest of you, it's hard enough to juggle dropping a kid off at school and getting here and all that. I don't want to go any earlier, personally. We do need to, I think we need to keep our comment period before school, I mean, before our, before school, yeah, that too. Before we begin, because we very often vote on something brought up, or like with the 4th of July thing, that was brought up during comment, and then we voted on it, and I would like to keep that just so people can address us, especially with local issues. They have an opportunity to just address us quickly before we start, so we can either agree to agendize it next time or vote on it, or help, so we can handle it during our meeting, basically. I think one of the points of this, too, that I'd like to see happen with this joint meetings is our subcommittees also need to be meeting jointly. We need to be utilizing our subcommittees more strongly. If we're going to have less time to discuss things during our regular meetings, I think it'd be much more efficient to discuss it less during our regular meeting and more in our subcommittees, as far as like the creative and the website and that kind of stuff. Let's utilize our subcommittees better. And I know it's always harder to coordinate schedules when we got to get 6 people together rather than 3, but I think we should make an effort at that as well. So that's it.
Seems like everyone's in favor of the joint meeting. I see some problems with it. Our CPC meetings regularly take less than an hour, including public comment and the agency report, so I see that if we cut those out and save them for an overlap, that we're going to be sitting around for a half hour until that meeting starts, so I don't see the efficiency there, but it's worth trying to see if it works or how it could work. It seems like if we have 14 people receiving 2 of the same reports, you know, that are nearly identical, we're kidding ourselves in not combining the board, again, for a matter of efficiency. It sounds like we're the same boards receiving the same reports, doing the same things. Why not be the same board? If we want to have some separation because of funding strategy or whatever you want to call it, then let's have 2 different and distinct boards that receive different reports from the agencies, and again, that'll be the best use of everyone's time.
Well, my feeling is that, unfortunately, there is a lot of duplication on the reports. However, it takes time away from both groups when those reports are duplicated. The funding is an issue when combining the boards, so I certainly am not at this point in terms of combining the boards, because we have, I think, slightly different missions. So I think the board should stay separate, at least for now. The subcommittee meetings, I think right now we are working in many of the subcommittees together. I know the budget subcommittee meets combined. The creative subcommittee would be a good idea to also meet combined. So I agree with you, Tracy, that we should take advantage of meeting together with the subcommittees, and that would save a lot of time on reports. So I am in favor of the overlapping. If we start our meetings at 8 o'clock, we certainly can be done close to 9, Joan. Not, maybe not right at 9, but between 9 and 9:30, we should be done. So another half hour from 9:30 till 10 or 9:15 till 10, and there's also going to be some time in the switching. You know, when we leave and you come and sit down, there's probably going to be a five-minute break between the meetings at least. So I think your idea of starting a little early could work, and you start your meetings close to 10 o'clock, and they'll be shorter this time because the reports will all be already be out of the way. So the meeting, your meetings, will be strictly the business that you're talking about, which usually does not concern the promotion committee. The promotion committee usually is in a different area than their hotel business. So I think it'll work out if we combine the meetings, and that would what I'd be in favor of doing.
Amit, do you? Oh, you got one. Good.
No comments at this time.
Janet.
Well, I too am in favor of the combined meetings. I think from 8 to 9, we can certainly do our promotion work. Then we have a little we're probably going to be like this for the joint part of the meeting, and I think that that's important too. And that way, hopefully, we can encourage the business forum and some of our other groups to come to that joint part of the meeting to get that information that's important to the whole community and get it out there, have people see it, have people aware of it, and able to educate themselves on why we're making the decisions we're making, and maybe even help us with making those decisions. So that would be great. And if we can promote that as, you know, for this half hour from 9 to 9:30 or 9:15 to 9:45, whatever it ends up being, there's going to be a joint information that everyone would be interested in and encourage people to attend that part. As far as combining them, though, there are very definite reasons for keeping the two boards separate, funding being a major one. The TBID funding comes from the hoteliers. Our funding comes from the general fund, and we have an obligation to the public of our community to promote local events and things like that with that funding. That's the purpose of it. Theirs has a slightly different focus. Often we combine in our efforts, but the ultimate goal for them is to get people to stay over. For us, it's to maybe get people from Arroyo Grande over here for the day. So it's a little bit different, and I think it is important to keep those separate, the public funding and the private. So I think it would work out well. I think it's an efficient way to do it, and as has been pointed out, we'll be basically having a joint meeting every month that way. And so a lot of those things can be agendized, things that both of us would have to weigh in on can be agendized for that joint part of the meeting and have a lot of efficiency gained there instead of two different agendas, two different weeks. So.
Thanks, Janice. I certainly agree with just about everything you said. I do think it's important that we have two separate boards. I think we do have different missions, all towards the same end of the health of the community, but different focus. So I'd really hate to see CPC go away or be absorbed into TBID somehow. I think the idea of having that overlap part of the meeting may just be the most efficient way to go. I would like to see us try it for 6 months and review after that time. Is it working? You know, are there differences in the scheduling we could do? Maybe we do only have a half hour. Although I think for this committee, I think we've got some work to do, and I think we can use that time. I think not having a quarterly joint meeting might be good. You know, maybe once a year, something like that. I do like the idea of subcommittee members getting together more. I think we could benefit from that hugely, and it would help the agency, too, if creative got together with the agency at one time, both committees bringing their interests. I know if we have this different focus of, you know, maybe we're more interested in TV and radio advertising or more print in terms of having a local focus. I would still want to see what TBID's doing with the larger outreach, and I would imagine TBID's interested in what we are doing with that kind of thing. So I think there's value in sharing what the different kinds of promotional activities are going on for each board is. So think it'd be good to be a little flexible with the timing of it, so that if we could say our meeting is from 8 to 9, and then we do the joint meeting from 9 to 9:30, but gee, if we run over 9:15 to 9:45 for the joint part. But I guess we will have to go to Rob and see what's legally possible in terms of the meetings.
If I may, I would suggest if each board could make a motion to that effect, and then the two chairs and I will meet with the city attorney on the specifics of noticing and how it'll work. But I think you can probably, it sounds like you're going to probably be able to pass this similar motions on both boards.
Yeah, excuse me. I would look down to my, it sounds to me as if we're all fairly in agreement that this is an experiment that we want to try, and then, you know, like everything else, change is good, so we can look at, you know, how we need to tweak and change this as we move forward. You know, this could develop further into all kinds of different things, but you never know till you try it. Can't knock it till you try it. So I'm looking for a motion to have joint meetings start at 9 a.m. to cover marketing and marketing reports or report and the visitor center report. And then we can break after that and go into our regular T-bid meeting.
Is it just one more comment before we make a motion?
I'm sorry, and nobody's made a motion yet, and we're looking for a six-month review of this process. Go ahead.
Before we do make a motion, but I think, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but for me and maybe the staff, you know, if we have a meeting at 8, then, I mean, if we did it at 8:30, that would give some of us to check in our business or check in where we work and maybe, you know, do whatever needs to be done, and then get here at 8:30 would be a lot more convenient. I don't know if anybody else feels that way or 8 is good.
I think that's pushing the, you know, I could do 7, Nick, but I think that pushing, of course, my husband would disagree, but that would be, I think, pushing the community promotions.
I think the idea is that promotions gets here at 8, TBID gets here at 9.
Yeah.
So we get here at 8, have a standalone meeting, and the only joint information is from the advertising agency visitor center report at 9 and TOT.
Right.
I have a suggestion for promotions, and that is, and this is addressing Daniel's concern of when they have a short agenda, if we can establish public comment in part of the overlap and establish public comment, say, at 9 o'clock for maybe the start of the overlap, then TBID could stagger their start time, or the promotions could stagger their start time as per their agenda. If they have a very light agenda, start at 8:30. If they've got a more detailed agenda, start it earlier. So something also to think about.
Andrea?
I would ask if you can leave some flexibility in your motion that would allow both the chairs and I to talk to the city attorney, just to make sure that whatever we do, we've got some flexibility to where we put public comment and such. I think we certainly heard all your input, and it's pretty similar, but some flexibility so we can make it happen, and it'll work legally.
Yeah, and I think I've heard from both boards that neither of these groups wants to come and sit around.
I'll make a motion.
That nobody wants to sit for that 25 minutes. So
I'll move that we have a combined meeting, we try this out for a six-month period, and we leave it up to the two chairs to work out the noticing requirements.
So
that's perfect,
yeah.
Combined meetings. Yeah. Overlap meetings.
Oh.
Overlap meetings.
Okay. Any discussion on this motion? And again, it's an overlapped meeting, not a combined meeting.
Sorry. And it would start at 8 o'clock. So if we went to, say, 8:45.
We're letting them decide that with Rob. That's why I left it open in a moment.
Okay. All right.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries from CPC.
Okay, so, you know what I'm looking for. We're looking for just that overlap and flexibility.
Same motion. The only thing is I'd like to add on there that it's marketing, the marketing reports, the visitor center reports, TOT, and any agenda items that may apply to both boards.
Thank you.
for that overlap. So I will make that similar motion, but I'd like to add that in there.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
We have 2 seconds. Any questions or comments on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Full board. Okay, thank you, both boards. Good work. See how we can work together. And on that note, we'll move to the big one, which is the discussion of the Partners Stakeholders Workshop for the marketing plan. And for that, let us get briefed from Andrea Luker, smiling because her daughter's going to graduate today.
Thank you, Chair Sulu. On Tuesday night, the City Council heard a staff report concerning a number of issues with the Visitor Center, and one of the recommendations from staff in that staff report was to hold a partners or stakeholder workshop to develop and modify the marketing plan. Staff presented the concept as we've certainly talked to Barnett Cox and Associates about they've started on an initial marketing plan, but the idea that if stakeholders were involved, that certainly have perhaps a more applicable marketing plan. The workshop that we suggested at the council meeting was to have a facilitator and a couple of things to achieve during that meeting, and those were listed as development and modification of a marketing plan for the upcoming year, identification of both short-term and long-term goals and strategies based on that marketing plan, a determination of a course of action to achieve those goals and strategies, and then last, certainly identification of the means to achieve those strategies with any deficiencies, basically who's going to do what. So that was the concept for a workshop. The City Council then directed staff to have that workshop as well as an additional workshop on the Visitor Center within the next 90 days. And so we're here today to talk a little bit about the first workshop for the marketing plan, to get an idea of who you think might be stakeholders, and perhaps what might be best, of course it's up to the boards, is to identify a subcommittee, another subcommittee, with a couple of members from each board to work with staff on getting that going. We've got a short timeline.
Okay, so once again, so that all of us can get that in there, can you go over the 4 goals of this conversation? The development and modification of the marketing plan.
The goals of the workshop staff put in the, and are, again, they're generated by staff and certainly not the end of discussion, certainly can be changed. But staff's idea was certainly the goals of the workshop were to continue development modification of the marketing plan for the upcoming year, working obviously with Barnett Cox and Associates, identification of both the long-term and short-term goals in the marketing plan, determining a course of action, and then looking at how that happens, who does what.
Okay,
so those were the goals of the workshop today. What we're really interested in, I think, is looking at your identification of stakeholders for that workshop. Time is of the essence.
Andrea, I wonder, since time is of the essence, if we could go ahead and attempt to identify the stakeholders right now. I know Janice has made a big long list. I think we could probably individually add to it. I think we are fairly representative of our community, and boy, that would cut off some time right there.
That's what we were hoping for you to do.
Okay. Well, then I'd say let's go forward with that. And Janice, why don't you start?
Well, I'm sorry, my printer ran out of ink last night, so I only have 5 copies of this. But if we could get Joan and Susan both have one, if you could have one to kind of share there and make sure Barnett Cox and Andrea get copies, and then I have a couple to go down this way.
You know, are we talking about marketing plan for the T-bid?
Everything.
We're talking about the workshop.
I think, you know, I'm going to be honest. I think the first thing we need to do is identify the scope of the workshop. Once we identify the scope of the workshop, we can identify who are the stakeholders and who are the partners. Because I think the scope of the workshop needs to be a little bit broader than what's included there. I would submit that the scope of the workshop needs to include an overall aggressive plan for tourism.
And I think that, you know, part of that includes how locals perceive tourism, which is why what Tyson did today was such a phenomenal study. So I think that when we talk about the workshop, marketing is a portion of this workshop, but we need to talk about the entire pie and what is the pie that makes up tourism so that we can establish who those stakeholders are. Because what this is we have never had this opportunity before. In 20 years, tourism really hasn't been addressed in this city, and in 20 years, everything has changed. Everything has changed. I mean, in 20 years ago, Andrea didn't have a child, and she's graduating from high school today. So, you know, it's pretty amazing.
Okay, so I have a question because I'm confused. I'm now hearing two workshops. So there's a workshop for the marketing plan as a whole of the city. Am I correct? And then there's a workshop then for visitor center? Is that what I heard?
Yes.
The city council's direction to staff was to hold two workshops. The workshops that are identified in the staff report that the city council directed us to hold was one on the marketing plan, and then a second workshop following that to talk about the services that the visitor center provides. Two separate workshops. Today, on your agenda, what we'd like for you to do is provide input on the workshop that addresses the marketing plan. And the thought behind is that Barnett Cox has, and I won't speak for Maggie or Sherry, I'm sure they'll jump in here, but they've got some bare-bones marketing plan on how to market and what to do for the next year and probably beyond that. But they're really looking for some input from the stakeholders to fine-tune that marketing plan. So that's where what we're after today.
And if I could just talk about the stakeholders again, because that kind of got interrupted. I put this together while I was at that meeting of the council the other night, and just looking at who we have to think about, who has the authority, who has the interest, who needs to be part of the conversation. And this is not set in stone, obviously, but this is my idea of where we need to start with the stakeholders. Another thing that I realized after the report today is somehow we have to reach out to the general resident and find out what they feel is important, if we can, because obviously there's an education component needed there. But I think that this is a good way to start. I would love us to be able to recognize and identify the stakeholders today to get the whole process going. So this is my suggestion. The city council obviously is going to have the ultimate authority, but below them, the CPC and the TVID, Barnett Cox, the Visitor Center and Chamber of Commerce, the Merchants Association, the VCB, which we have to consider. They may not want to be part of the discussion, but they're certainly part of the budget. So we need to have that thought in mind somewhere. The Business Forum, the Embarcadero Business Forum, somehow reaching the downtown and North Morro Bay merchants. Hard to do. Hard to get them to come to meetings. But perhaps we can get a representative for each of those areas. And then somehow an outreach to the residents in general. So that's kind of what I felt were the stakeholders, and open the discussion at that point.
Janice, can I add to that the Embarcadero merchants? Somehow they got left off here. But I think we ought to just say merchants and not even say where. Because, you know, there's little odd pockets of merchants around Morro Bay, and the more people we get to participate, the better. You're right. It's just plain hard
Absolutely.
To get them there.
Yeah.
But let's just open it up. And, I mean, anybody, any of us, any contact we have with other merchants, I don't know if we could... Again, we've discussed this before. It's very hard to reach out through business licenses or net, because that information changes, is in a state of flux continually. But there are so many odd pockets of merchants, and, you know, if they want to have a say in this, if they want any input, now would be the time to step forward.
And I think there it just becomes, you know, how do you identify who's going to have the conversation at the workshop? And perhaps that's where we can have a lot of people in the audience, but maybe one representative for each area, other than those that are established organizations. Obviously, the Merchants Association, the Chamber, they have a representative identified.
Go ahead, John.
I guess I'm confused. From my experience, a marketing plan reflects a business plan. And I guess I'm hearing marketing plan being used in so many ways, and I think different people are hearing the definition of marketing plan to be different. And some are equating that to business plan, and some are equating it to what Barnett Cox do, which is marketing, you know, promotion, advertising, print, non-print, social media, whatever it might be, a marketing plan. And I think what Barnett Cox, or a advertising agency, is looking for is for the their customer to define their business plan, and they will design a marketing plan to match that business plan. So what I'm sorry, but when I was hearing council talk the other night, I was going back and forth about what's a business plan, what's a marketing plan. And I hear what we need to do is develop a business plan. And the business plan would have, you know, many components to it. You know, the visitor center is a component of this overall business plan. The marketing plan is a piece of it. There would be a financial plan that goes with that. You know, what's it going to cost, and what do we expect to get for it, and is there a cost benefit there that justifies us to go ahead and implement this business plan? There would be a competitive analysis. There would be a portion of that says, both from our perspective as our product, you know, how good are our hotels and our restaurants versus the competition would be, you know, part of that analysis to see really what kind of a customer base we want to go after, you know, who fits our product. We'd look at competitive analysis also from the perspective of we're going up against Monterey and Carmel and Pismo Beach and all these other people. And what do they have that we don't have? You know, how are we can compete against those people? We would build into the business plan a measurement, you know, at the end of the thing about how much have we succeeded? You know, have we spent this much money and we've gained this? Have we really succeeded? Have we met our business plan? So I guess I'm coming back and I'm confused. I would like to suggest that what we're really, and I hope what council was really suggesting, was that we put together a business plan. And the business plan for the business of tourism in Morro Bay, and what will come from that is a marketing plan that Barnett Cox, who is more than capable of generating for us once they know what it is we want. And I think from that will come our strategies and our actions of how we're going to move forward with the business of tourism going forward. And what will fall out of that is, what's the role of the visitor center in this whole thing? How do we want to use the visitor center in it? And what Dan was saying in his public comment earlier, that I think he was kind of saying the same thing. There's sales and there's marketing, and we're cross-using those words right here. Mm-hmm. He's saying sales. Barnett and Cox is saying marketing. And let's separate those two definitions and say part of the business plan is a sales plan. How are we going to go out and actually sell our product to the customer? Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I think those comments are great. I think you hit the nail on the head. Jane?
And I totally agree with what John's saying. I also would like to go one step further with identifying the goal. And the goal is tourism, which is what Joan was saying. And we have to have a workshop that has one focus. And that is going to be a key. When we have two boards sitting right up here whose focus is totally different on what we want tourism to be. So I think we have to come to a common ground, then do a business plan, which is a short term and a long term. We have to identify both and then move forward. Otherwise, the workshop is not going to achieve the goal.
Good comments from everybody. I will say that what I see with this workshop and the need to identify stakeholders is this community is made up of many parts. They all have a different interest, a different focus. I think tourism is one of the components that is certainly huge in the health of this community, but if all the little smaller components that maybe aren't even tourism related are unhealthy, then we have a town that slowly ceases to be a destination. The town is a sustainable community with things here for residents and things for visitors. If all the stuff for residents was to close down, you'd have big empty spots throughout the entire town. Nobody wants to come to a ghost town. So I think it's important that, yes, we are looking at what is this promotion and advertising plan. I think it's not so much that why is Carmel getting something that we aren't, But why are people from Carmel coming here? Because they are. They're getting something from us that they can't get where they are. What is Morro Bay? Who are we? What is our product? Not sell something that we aren't. Until we get to that point that we are something different, we should not be selling that, because we want people to come back. We don't just want that one-time visitor. We want repeat visitors. So I think we do need to look at what our product is, who cares about it, how they're advertising it. You know, I think TBID has the biggest advertising budget. CPC has some. I would say the Chamber of Commerce, very little. Very little of that budget is advertising. Merchants Association, almost nothing. You know, these are all groups that are struggling to pull money together. But we, these two boards are kind of it for this town. So what we can do at this point to get that foot in the door and to open up this community to tourists, but visitors also, people who come back, people who keep the businesses open in the winter, in the midweek. I know we've got these two really important parts of it and more from this list here, but I do think there's a good purpose for this workshop, and I think we could accomplish things with it.
So what I'd like to do, I think, so that we can keep ourselves wrangled, since we're, you know, big here, is to do the go down the list thing and give us all a chance to openly say some things, openly comment, and then we'll see if we can collectively pull those comments back together to get to where we need to go. Kind of a little roadmap. It gives us all an opportunity then, I think, to just kind of vet and voice. And in that, if you can throw in whoever you might think is a stakeholder, and we'll do a little tree of who we think those this is a Christmas tree effect, stakeholders, a Christmas tree effect, business plan, Christmas tree effect workshop, so that we kind of build a nice solid base of foundation of what we're doing. So Karen, are you ready? I'll go down my, if that's okay with mm-hmm. everyone, we'll just do that, and so we keep it precise. Want to reverse the order? We'll reverse the order. Well, I mean, if that's okay with
that's
you.
That's fine.
Okay.
I agree with what Susan said. We've really got to look at the product we have in marketing it. That's where we need to involve our merchants. Is, you know, all of us here are so ultimately aware of how tourism benefits our community. But as we just found out from the Cal Poly study, our community is not aware of how tourism is benefiting them. Our ultimate goals are the same. Whether you call it day visitors, weekend visitors, our ultimate goal is a bottom line for Morro Bay. We all know that whether or not somebody comes for the day or whether or not they spend the night, ultimately that money filters into our community and supports it, and that's what keeps us going. Our goal is exactly the same. It is not different. It is a product, packaging it, drawing people in to see it, experience it, whether they stay the night or for the day, whatever. It's all the same goal. There is no separation here. What we need is, this is an opportunity for us to reach out to the community, not with the initial workshop, but with the end result. And like John so eloquently stated, this is a business plan. Anybody who wants to have participation or input into this business plan needs to step forward now or step down, because we need to go forward and implement whatever business plan we do come up with. We need to decide who is our target, define that target, where do they live, how do we get to them, and go after them. And I think, you know, we offer this up to merchants in town as well as those of us here and hoteliers and restaurant owners and residents, I don't know how, at what level we, you know, where they come into it, but this is the opportunity to come forward with the information of what you want to see. And, you know, we can't spend too much time trying to reach out, trying to get that. If people don't step forward with it, we got to move on. And I think this is a good list. Let's start with this and start, you know, going after our business plan and going after that. We know what our goal is. It's a common goal. So defining how to get there. So.
Thanks, Tracy.
Dan? I don't really have anything to add.
Okay.
Dan? Yeah, I have some thoughts on this. We are, I guess, mandated by the city council to have this workshop. And the stakeholders really are almost anyone who wants to step forward and has some input. It's like speak now, forever hold your peace. And I think we should invite anybody and everybody who has any ideas on what the marketing should be, or the advertising, or the business plan. And I agree with John's comments. He's absolutely right on the money there. But if we have to have this workshop, let's invite everybody and say, step forward, speak, or forever hold your peace. To have the business forum come back after we do and make decisions and tell us that they're wrong or they don't agree with them is wrong. We'll give them an opportunity, and give every merchant an opportunity, and anyone who feels they're a stakeholder an opportunity to speak. And so I think the only thing to do, because we are mandated to have this workshop, is to decide when, where, what time, and how we are going to promote the workshop. And let's get the word out about the workshop and say what it is, what we're asking for, and get the publicity out, put it on the website, put an ad in the paper if you have to, put it on everyone's agenda of every committee, have everyone speak about it for a month or two, find a date and a place, and let's get this workshop done. And maybe a month or two is too long. Maybe we should do it in July. Oh, we do? Okay.
I'm sorry, we have to be back to council with our report by September 1st.
Okay, so. Well, we need at least a couple of weeks to promote it.
Yep.
And to give people a chance to know that it's going to happen. And that's my thoughts on it.
Your turn.
I do agree with Tracy, what you said. Like, you know, we all do we have, it's like common goal. So all we need to do is like identify what our products and what it is, and we just filter it up and put it all together. And just, you know, do, because basically marketing, that's our business. That's all we got to, like, you know, do. Eventually, whatever we're going to do, market, that's going to bring us business. So I would say, yeah, you know, that's a good idea.
Thanks, Amit.
Janice.
Okay. And I agree. We need to get the stakeholders. We need to get the publicity out. I think we should get a press release right away, or an article by Neil if he'll do that. And if not, I think we should perhaps, the combined chairs, do a viewpoint to put in the Bay News, to say how important this is, why we're doing this, what kind of input we want. And then the structure of the workshop, I would hope, would be one of those where you got a facilitator who's listing everybody's ideas, and then when all the ideas are up there, you go and you stick your little colored stickers on the ones that are most important to you, because that really works. That really gets an indication of what the majority feel is important, and it gives the advertising agency a direction to go and in what they're going to present to us that would be acceptable and workable. So I think that that would be a great way to do it. I'd like to add to my list already the fishing organization, which I'm embarrassed to say I didn't put on there, and the Embarcadero Merchants, adding that one too. But I think that getting this out as quickly as possible, word of mouth, at all of these organizations, speaking at these organizations, and doing, I don't know if we can put a mailer in the utility bill if there's time for that or not, but getting people here, because you're right, this is going to be their chance. This is when we're in flux. This is when we got a new agency. We've got new people. We've got a new chamber director. Now's the time to make the changes.
Thanks, Janice. I agree with all of that. I think we just need to move forward. I think one of the big questions is going to be the facilitator, who that is, how much it costs. Personally, I'd be for having our advertising agency do that. I don't see why not. I don't see the need for a middleman in there for this particular workshop. I don't think we're talking that other level. I think we can keep it at a community level and work directly so that you're getting it firsthand, right there. You're taking all of it in. That would just be my personal suggestion, and if that's something you feel comfortable doing. So that's all I have to say, I guess.
Michelle, you want to start? You want to start? I'm not going to start.
I think this is a no-brainer. I think I've been asking for this for months. I think I agree with John. This is something we need. Morro Bay, in general, needs to have a full business plan on what they're doing with tourism. I think this has been lacking for several years. And I think if we can get, I know for me, as a very hands-on-the-ground worker person, I think there's a little bit of a flow chart kind of missing. People don't know who's doing what, when, where, how, and what the messages are. And I, you know, sit with the VCB. It's been about 6 or 8 months, and I've heard a lot out there, which goes back to a little bit of market share, about how, and when you talk to people, nobody really, Morro Bay doesn't have a true identity, sort of, and it's not out there. We're not all marketing the same messages. And that's what I kind of complained about way back for RFP process, is I feel that no matter what we're marketing, we are our own marketers. I mean, all of our residents, all of our merchants, they market. People come in their business every day. They need to know what we're all doing. I feel that the 10,000 residents we have are our marketers, as well as all of our businesses. So we need to all be on the same page. And so I think to have a workshop, for me, I agree with Ed, the stakeholders should be everybody. I think it should be I think everybody should be included in this. I feel BCA should be included with this as well. I don't think they should be the facilitator, because they are a stakeholder. I feel that they are part. They will be implementing this plan. So I think they need to hear openly what's going said, and I think they're facilitating that could be a little tough, but that's for them to answer. So that's just my 2 cents on that when I heard that. But I really, really think we need to have a very big plan, and then we all fall under that, and we need to all know who our roles are and what we're doing, because we're doing little things here on the TBID or big things on the TBID, I don't always know who to know. Bill Yates, the other day, I talked to him, and he said, well, you could have called me to do that. Well, you know what? I never knew that. And I've been sitting on this board for almost 2 years. So, and I know that the TBID kind of got formed. We got plopped into the middle of the city. And I feel like it's been a big wave that's just went up. And we've kind of washed. We're not all working together. We're very fragmented. There's a lot of backdoor lobbying and all that. And I think that needs to all go away. And I think the workshop's a great idea for that. Get everybody. I need to get people to buy in on it. We don't need to have personalities or conflicts. We just need a marketing plan, what's best for the city.
That was 4 cents.
Excited, because this is what we've needed. So,
John, do you want to say anything? Do you want to add to that, John?
No, but I will subtract. So I'm going to go 8-1 now and object to all of that. I've been there and I've done that. I've done workshops. The most significant one was relating to the power plant. And it was my way of getting involved with the city when I first moved to Morro Bay. And we spent 2 years leading up to a workshop, and we gave a report back to the city council. And the report to the city council was that the city council form a committee to develop a workshop to look at what to do with the power plant. I absolutely 100% agree in getting any stakeholder's comment that wants to invest time and money, effort into telling us about tourism in Morro Bay. I 100% believe in that. But I'm not sure a community workshop up at the community center with sticking post-its on a board is going to result in anything of any value to us as it relates to building a business plan. I don't think it's going to give us a real hard look at what our competitive advantages and what our competitive disadvantages are, or who our competitors are or who our competitors aren't. I don't think it's going to tell us anything about what's the best way to move forward to go ahead and sell the product. And what we have to sell is product. We have rooms to sell, we have T-shirts to sell, and we have food to sell. How are we going to sell those things? And how are we going to get people to come back more than once they've been to Morro Bay that first time? I don't think the workshop is going to really help us with that sort of thing. I want to bring up the facilitator. I want to bring up the facilitator also. I think that's going to be a real critical portion or component of this thing. It's not Barnett Cox. It's somebody outside. It's somebody totally independent. It's probably somebody none of us know right now. It's somebody that's going to come in with an absolute clean slate and listen to what everybody says and put all this information factually on a white piece of paper and summarize it for us and kind of present it back to us in some sort of an orderly fashion that it's going to allow us as a group, and I don't mean just us as a group, I mean us as the stakeholder group, this larger group that Janice has put together, which quite truthfully I support, is going to be able to make some sense out of and say, okay, this is how we should go ahead and move forward, and here's how we start organizing our business plan to move to do what we need to do to to accomplish, I think, the goal that everybody in this room and everybody in that list, I think, wants to accomplish, which is make the city of Morro Bay better. You know, we need to pave some streets, and we need to fund the dial-a-ride, and we need to do a lot of things. We need to improve our business environment to allow that to happen. But the workshop is a component of it, but it's not the process that I think we should use. I think probably the process right now would be something we find a facilitator that can come in and start talking. Probably one of when we had Andrea, you know, when we had the city management partners come in, the first thing they did was they came in and they talked to all the employees of the city. And they got the view from the employees as to what's right, what's wrong. I wasn't that close to the process, but they talked to the people actually involved. I'd like to see the facilitator come in and sit down with each one of us separately and talk to us and get our individual views and sit down with everybody on that list that Janice put together. And there's probably, Tracy talked about it, there's other business groups that we need to include. I agree 100% on that. They should sit down and talk to all that people and then bring that information back to us at a workshop. And then we hear what that facilitator heard from us collectively. And then we at that point we can say, okay, this is making sense or that's not making sense, and we really ought to do this maybe under the guidance of the facilitator. And at the end of this process, what we do is we create a business plan. Now, there's two members of council still sitting in the room. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe all we really want is a marketing plan. If that's the case, go do it, you know. But I would hope we're not just going to do that community workshop with post-its on, Jesus, I still have all this stuff. I should show it to you sometime. But not just the community workshop, which is post-its on the board. You know, it's there's a lot more to it. I think following a finding a facilitator and asking the facilitator, tell them this is what we want to accomplish at the end. What's, from your professional opinion, what is the best way for this community to get there? We're not those professionals. Let's use their advice. And, sir, I've more than taken up my share of time.
Thank you, John.
Focus can be directed on what we need to do, which is marketing, which, bottom line, all the dollars help Morro Bay. So, and I do agree that everybody who wants to be part of maybe not the initial workshop or not the initial blueprint, exactly, that's a good word, where the facilitator gets the plan going, and then after that, ask for public comment. And we post, the city council posts public notices, and the percentage that come for the public notice is minuscule to who is in the city. So I don't think we have to worry about hundreds of people coming to a workshop. So that's my two cents, and just, you know, and we do have to have a facilitator, and they are expensive. So there you go.
Just quickly, I think that where I'm having the stumbling block is stakeholders. For us, on the TBID, our stakeholders are the hoteliers who pay the money to promote Morro Bay. So, you know, I think I'm beginning to understand what the city council wants us to do. It's to kind of come up with an overall business or marketing plan for the whole city entirely, and just to kind of everybody kind of work towards that one mission or one goal that we come, that the stakeholders, the list here, that we come up with. So I think I'm beginning to understand that. I'm a little slow, so.
That's because you're still celebrating from graduation. Yeah, congratulations. I think this is a great opportunity for the community. We can be a bit fragmented at times, and this is an opportunity to bring in all the stakeholders, not just the ones sitting around the table here, but folks from the arts community, the fishing community, recreation, retail, dining, that haven't been involved in the process before. And the process is almost more valuable than the end result in bringing all these folks together to get a common vision, to get a collective ownership in whatever that plan is. And maybe as a result of that, we can be less fragmented and more focused as a community with regards to tourism and the impact that it can have on Morro Bay. I agree with Joan and John to broaden the scope, and others also that have mentioned it, to focus on the overall picture of tourism and the impact that it has on Morro Bay. And you know, when we talk about stakeholders, I think the public, the average citizen, also needs to be considered as a stakeholder, as we saw from the report from Cal Poly here today. So facilitators, we had looked into doing a similar process in Healdsburg, and the California Travel Tourism has a person that does strategic planning for marketing plans. They also have someone that used to work for them that now acts as a private consultant. And the dollar figure I got back then was around $5,000. I don't know if that's realistic now or not. But I think it's dollars well spent in bringing the community together to have a common vision, a common ownership in tourism in Morro Bay. And I want to thank the City Council and city staff for having the insight of suggesting the workshop that will bring us together. So thank you all for that.
I'm definitely a proponent of the workshop concept. I think we've heard a lot of different ideas here about the direction this workshop should be taking. As a hotelier and member of the TBID and the TBID's revenues in terms of marketing and promotion of Morro Bay and this transitionary period that we're in with a new marketing agency, I think we're looking at a workshop from a couple of different points of view, from a healing community point of view, from perhaps a community and economic development point of view, which I think the Chamber has taken some good positive steps in promoting, but also in a tourism marketing point of view. And I think right now what the City of Morro Bay has is a product for tourism marketing. It's an infrastructure that's in place at this point. So I think my feelings are that direction for a workshop should be with tourism and tourism marketing, and that an open forum for a workshop, I'm not sure, will be very successful. I agree with John that, you know, it could be very cumbersome, it could be very chaotic, but on the other hand, how much response are we going to get? I would like to see a period set up, maybe for public comment in terms of emails, letters, maybe even an initial period of the workshop itself, when a date is set of the workshop, for maybe a public comment, then maybe a split out of subcommittees.
Nick, that's been confusing. And I do see it, as Karen sees it, as a point of healing. I do believe that we need a business plan. We are, and I don't want to make that, I'm not trying to sway community promotions, but I believe that no matter what comes out of this for the TBID, when you're talking about almost, hopefully TOT is going to go up and we have $500,000 this year to work with, right? That's the goal, right? Every year for this budget to increase. We need a business plan for that. There probably isn't a business in town that has a $500,000 budget that does not have a business plan. Period. So we need a business plan for tourism, and that is, you know, I feel very strongly about that. I have a business plan for my business. I bet Nick does. You know, off we go, right? So I feel very strongly that needs to come out of that. I am willing to pay for a top-quality facilitator. I was at the VCB, the way they did their tourism workshop. It was phenomenal. They took input. They had, like, every stakeholder in the land was invited, you know, including, you know, like Rapunzel, who threw down her hair to welcome everyone. And they got everybody into the room.
It was wrangled very, very well, better than we're doing here, Susan. I hate to tell us, but it was wrangled very well. I would say that we should turn to maybe hiring their people who did that and do it on a mini version for us. They brought everybody in. We could televise it, certainly, to make it conform with how the city needs it to be done. And then it could be replayed later, but it would give everybody the opportunity. And, yeah, I see commercial fishermen, the Embarcadero leaseholder as stakeholders. I see North Main, 4th of July, Harbor Festival, Car Show. There are major events during the year. I see them being invited and having the opportunity to not necessarily open up a microphone for public comment for 3 minutes, but to be an actual part, sit in the room, understand where all of this is coming, what we're trying to build off of it. And then, after that first workshop, I see the business plan and a blueprint being developed, and then all of the stakeholders being invited back in for that blueprint that comes back to us for development for that blueprint kind of rollout. That's how I kind of envision this when I'm talking about trying to get it done. I think that it needs to, yes, hold a team-building spirit and an educational spirit and a buy-in spirit, and then, you know, get that business, and then out of that comes our business plan and our core way that we will function for tourism here, because this has never been done before in this city. So now we're changing, we're moving. And on facilitators, there are some good facilitators, and you could probably look into hiring a facilitator. I would imagine that this is probably a $10,000 or $15,000 deal. Maybe $7,000. I'm hoping. Ladies, Barnett and Cox.
Do we hear five?
Thank you. Maggie Cox for Barnett Cox. We have done facilitation. We know facilitators. We can put out a call for them. I think we can come in less than $10,000 and get a quality facilitator. I'd be interested in pursuing the person with the tourism expertise as well. And you know what's really, there's some additional nuances to it all, and you know, because you are members of a group and you're used to working towards consensus, but we need somebody who understands maybe that every voice gets heard, but every vote isn't equal. There has to be a way to come to a conclusion, and it has to be a very adept facilitator, because some opinions are going to prevail and some aren't. And we know that this is a community really with two challenges right now. There is some conflict and some differing voices that feel that they're not being heard, and we need to hear them. But second to that, we, as your marketing firm, and thank you, John, for saying it so eloquently, we need to understand what the product is we're trying to sell. And to put it in a very elementary analogy, it's like you as a client are a department store. And on the one hand, you're saying, we want everyone to come to Macy's. Well, somebody who's running the fine china department says, I need to sell more china. And somebody in women's wear said, if we get them into women's wear, we can sell china. So we need to know, are we selling the outdoors? Are we selling arts? Are we a little fishing community? What are we selling, and to whom are we selling it? And so however we get to that point, that's what we need. I want to put in a pitch for our team that we need it right now, because we are in the most fantastic period of the year for planning. We're going to miss the fall season that we know is fabulous for Morro Bay if we don't get it moving.
I think that's a really good start.
We can just understand what we have and sell it, and there's such opportunity right now. Let's get it going, and then we can do more.
I agree with you. You know, we haven't had a business plan, and we've moved through this without a business plan, and we can and will continue to move through this with focus without the business plan developed yet. The business plan, though, should be a goal, so that as we move into the next year of marketing, we can really make our money work harder and stronger for us. We can have bionic money. And so I totally agree with what John is saying. I see that as the goal. I like all of this. I see the workshop as necessary, but believe me when I say to you, for the TBID, and I'd like to see Shakes ahead of this, this is not going to stop us from marketing in the meanwhile. Is that true?
That's true. Okay.
If I could just add one kind of concluding comment. This workshop, I think the main thing it's going to do is develop unity within the community. That's what we have to have. Even if the result is very vague going forward to what the business plan develops into, if everybody's had their chance to say something, to be part of the process,
absolutely,
we need that unity. We need to get all those disparate groups together, realizing that we're all working for the same thing. So that's got to be the ultimate goal of that workshop.
And if I might add one more time, I agree with that. We have worked on other projects, other communities, other clients, not necessarily communities. And when there is a kind of a philosophical division like that, that it feels like we have going in, if we don't resolve it, it doesn't matter how fabulous our work is. Somebody is devoted to making sure it fails because they have a different opinion. So we have to find a way to get to that peaceful place.
Thank you. Exactly.
Could we as a group just say, let's look at the second week in July, third week? I mean, can we at least somehow calendar in and just get this rolling so we're working towards something?
I think what you're probably going to want to do, and I talked about a little bit before, is maybe appoint a smaller subcommittee to work with staff and Barnett Cox. We can say that we want to have it in the second week in July, but it kind of is dependent on who facilitates, and I don't see it. We've heard what the both boards said. I think if you can do a small subcommittee with staff and Barnett Cox, we can move ahead and report back.
Okay. Well, I'd suggest right now then we develop that subcommittee, and we can set a meeting after this meeting when it's good for everybody to meet.
Some of the should we look at some of the things that we'd like them to look at, which are developing a list of stakeholders, developing...
Finding a facilitator.
Well, I think we're clear from the comments where I don't think we need to.
Yeah.
Can we give finding the facilitator back to Barnett and Cox? Can you?
I think Barnett and Cox will be involved. Certainly, I think it would make sense to have part of your subcommittee work on that. I think, you know, one member from each board, two members from each board. Let's just move forward.
And meet next week.
Should we use the transition subcommittee that's already intact?
I think you've got three members from one board and two from another, though, on that transition subcommittee.
Do you have two?
We have two. We could add a third.
A member.
Volunteers.
Oh.
It's myself and Ed.
All of you?
So we're adding...
Tracy.
Okay. So who is that?
Let me go back to my TBID board. Is that okay with all of you, first of all? I don't want to overstep how you feel. It's the budget subcommittee, which is Karen... Michelle and myself. Are you up for that, Michelle?
And that's just to get the workshop going.
That's just to get the workshop going, and then it's going to break out after that. And you're good with that?
Yeah, maybe.
Everyone good with that? Okay, I have nods.
I just know my guys are on board with it, right? Everybody's happy. Are we all good? Okay, we're moving ahead.
Okay, so... And I believe Susan was looking for to hold the workshop within the next 2 weeks. Is that what you're looking for?
No.
Okay.
I think if we hold this meeting next week, hopefully earlier rather than later, and try and get the workshop middle of July, I'm just concerned with us being able to really move forward and have a report ready by September 1st.
So yeah, I think the workshop should be.
We're new to your protocol, but I know that we have a budget subcommittee meeting scheduled next week, and if it's appropriate to combine those, maybe we could do it all next week.
It's the same people, so that would work out perfect. Yeah.
And that's Wednesday.
Wednesday, June 27th. I didn't know about that. That may have been a budget meeting with them.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was combined.
Because
ours was going to be postponed till after July 4th.
Oh, you're
budget.
Right.
So we can find out if that works. Does that work for...
And actually, Daniel's on our budget.
The other issue under this agenda item is just a yay or a nay, and it can come after their presentation, certainly on the website, the slogan, and the logo. And basically what we would like to get from your boards today is whether or not you would like to readdress those issues. We won't be readdressing those today, but whether or not you would like to, and then we will bring back some information. So that's just a yes or no at the end of your presentation, and I'll turn it over to Sherry.
Great. Okay, great. You want to start, Susan? Or what? No, Barnett and Cox start. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Great to be here in a new seat. And we have been, obviously, you know, working since March on all the different components in the Morro Bay marketing package. And we've looked... Oh, I thought it's on. It's just, am I on it? Do you hear it now? The website has been... forefront in our minds as far as because it's such a huge component of bringing you visitors and people looking and booking through the website. We feel like the website is effective in some ways. We feel that it can really be strengthened through the back end of it. There are some keyword issues that could be easily addressed. We've talked about the fact that people sometimes search for things like romantic weekend or girls getaway and things like that. And those kind of things have not been established in this website. That's something that we would like to start working on. The website has many different pieces. I think all of you are aware of that. It's been built on in sort of like a Winchester mystery house, for lack of a better term. So we are dealing with that transition, and our first order of business is to strengthen the website so that you're getting more action from the website, as well as make it more appealing to viewers. And it's just a process that we are already beginning as we're getting the information from Rick Turton and TJA, which has been fabulous. They've, you know, given us everything that we need to keep moving forward. Eventually, we really do see a full redesign. But I think in the interim, these first at least 4 months, we need to get a hold of it and really just beautify and strengthen. So that's our thoughts on the website.
And I just wanted to add, beyond everything, we want to make sure it needs to do what you need it to do right now, but especially with Saver coming, we have such an opportunity to drive people to that site, and we want to really grab that and be ready for it.
Exactly. And then on to Discover Your Better Nature. We've had many meetings about, you know, and I hear different things from different groups about Discover Your Better Nature. We feel that Discover is a very strong, effective word for Morro Bay. It ties in with a beach community, the ocean, Discover. And Discover itself can be used for every market. You can appeal to young families with a, you know, Discover Your Inner Child, or retirees with Discover Your Inner Peace, things like that. We can go through every market with a Discover, just the word Discover. We feel like Discover Your Better Nature can be used as more of a undercurrent for Morro Bay, that it has the nature component. It makes people think a little bit about feeling better when they get here, that kind of thing. We see strength in it. We don't see it as the main message for Morro Bay. We see it as more Morro Bay, Discover Your Better Nature, and that we would like to use the Discover, but use it in a lot of different ways. And I think it can be used for events. There's a lot of different components there. The logo, we've looked at the logo and every iteration of the logo.
We're talking about this logo on screen at the bottom.
Yeah, the bottom, this bottom. And one of the inherent problems with that logo is it's very difficult. It doesn't translate well into many of your different newspaper advertising, even online. It gets put in a box. There's different words that get put in it. It loses strength because of the white spaces behind it, or they put it on a background and it doesn't, you know, we've looked at it, and we really are recommending a complete redesign of the Morro Bay logo.
We'd like to get you to more of a bug that works in lots of different applications and that we can really work with your brand integrity. So it is what it is, what it is, and everything continually reinforces. That's the direction we'd like to go.
Exactly. So that when people see it immediately, even if there's no words attached to it, they think Morro Bay. And it needs to be consistent, and it needs to be all the way, you know, and that's what this workshop will help us with, that consistency as well. So, and then we do, as Andrea mentioned, we kind of tagged on a little bit to the existing agenda in that we feel it's imperative to really get started with our creative to get a decision on create. We feel like either of these concepts really differentiate Morro Bay from the other tourist destinations. If you look through Sunset, Coastal Living, that kind of thing, we've got some really strong messages here, and it does identify Morro Bay as a very distinct destination. So I think if you guys review over the next couple of weeks, we need to make the decision on a go forward by the July meeting. So
yeah, we're not asking you to decide today. We just like direction that you will, and that we can go with something new. And beyond changing the artwork, you don't change it just for the sake of changing it. We think it's a repositioning, it's an appeal to a little different audience maybe, and it also gives us a great platform for some new public relations efforts and some press releases and some media tie-ins. And again, it sets a nice platform for us moving towards SAVOR, which we see as such an extraordinary opportunity.
So what would you like from us now?
Andrea basically said, the other thing that needed to be addressed was the Morro Bay film, the film morrobay.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We checked into that. That is available, and it sounds like we have go ahead to secure the domain.
Yes, secure that.
So
yes.
We'll do that this afternoon, and we'll have that in the books.
Up.
Exactly.
It's like $15 a year. We're just retaining the domain. We'll front you the money on that one.
I'm thinking that on the creative, we may need to meet, subcommittee meets before the July 21st meeting, I think, on this creative.
Yep.
So that would be my direction with that, so that we could then make a decision with the full board in July.
Creative people, do you know who you are? Creative subcommittee?
And is that the appropriate process for us to follow?
Mm-hmm.
We assume that the creative subcommittee brings the recommendation back to full boards.
Okay,
great. Exactly.
Question on the handouts. I don't see a new logo thing here. Is that something that's being worked on?
The logo will be worked on.
Okay, because I agree. We need a new one.
Exactly.
Is that the proposed logo?
That's the city logo, which we love.
We do like it. Yeah, we'd like to talk to you about that.
Exactly. I like that a lot.
It's unifying.
I really like that logo.
Okay, one microphone at a time. Sorry, I'm going to be Andrea.
We're new to television.
I know.
Okay, so back to it then. We need, what are you looking, if you can just... You're looking to meet with this creative subcommittee, which we have no problem doing. We'll get you together with us. Website, what are you looking for today from us? Just with a head shake to move forward with some changes, okay? Head shake for them to move forward with some changes. Mm-hmm. There you go. I see heads all around. And we are looking for some head shakes, I believe, for you to come back with a... Let's go to the logo first, and we'll hit the slogan last. Head shakes for you to come back to us with some logo designs or concepts or whatever you'd like to talk to us about. In that regards, I see head shakes from my side. Mm-hmm. I see head shakes from that side. Bring it.
Are they bringing it to the creative subcommittee then?
Which one will come to the board?
All right. So that's what your word saying.
Your microphone.
We're shaking our heads that they will go back and do further work to bring back to us. Because we don't want to tell them to do work if they don't... If we say no, then they're not going to spend time in their wheels. Yeah.
Okay, and but the website comes to the website subcommittee. The logo will go through creative subcommittee. And now let's move to the big fish to fry, which is the slogan. And so... Go ahead.
I forget about this new deal. I think what we're asking is there interest in us discussing the slogan? And that comes because we've heard lots of different, we love it, we hate it, and we need everybody to be of a similar mind. So is the combined group supportive of the notion of looking at it?
Yes. I am totally supportive. I'm looking down my group. Do I see head shakes of looking at the, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Everybody here is pretty much in agreement. Janice has a comment.
I'm sorry, just one comment. I'm not sure what you're saying in looking at it. Are you saying it sounds like you want to keep the Discover idea with Discover Your Better Nature as a subtext, but something else for the top? Okay,
right.
Thank you.
We want
I just
that not
clear
to
on
be
that.
The headline of the ads. I guess that's what I
right.
we would
okay.
put it.
Thank
exactly.
you.
I do think, too, I really like the idea that your agency could help people with how to use
a special meeting, do we need to go over future agenda items from this? Because I know that we have a laundry list on our
no.
old thing. Okay, so you did get the one. You did get, please don't. You did get the one that was discussion of the poly study on our July agendas. That was it. That's the only thing on both. Okay, good. With that.
Question. Are we starting off next month with this joint or Overlapping meeting at so that CPC starts at 8 a.m. We get our business out of the way, get the advertising agency in whenever they want. If you want to come at 8, I think that's actually a good idea. But your report would come when TBID arrives. Are we on board with that for July?
That's the intent. Okay. What we will do, again, is ask both the chairs to meet with myself and the city attorney just to hammer out any issues there might be. But, yeah, the intent is to start that immediately. If for some reason he saw some red flags, we would let you know. But that is the intent.
With that, yes, you may.
Thank you. Just before you close, again, we want to, on behalf of Barnett Cox, thank you very much. Next month will be our first full meeting with you. We know it's been a very challenging and time-demanding time for you to make this transition, and we just appreciate so much all the support that's been extended to us. TJA was tremendous, and we're still concluding some business with them. We're very excited. We know there's great things ahead, and we just are eager to jump into it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Welcome. And so I don't know about CPC, but I'm going to look to my board for a motion to adjourn. Is there a second on
I'll
that?
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye. Please stay seated.
Well, CPC, we know we're a lot more casual than that. Are you guys all ready to go? Get your day started? All right, let's do it. Thank you.